Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. Busy show tonight. Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies coming up straight after the news on Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Struck by lightning, sounds pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. If my feet stay nothing but a beat, they tell the chance you're gonna ride at the mall. But it's 23-4-1.
Happened there? Hang on a second. What happened there? Oh, do you know what happened? My computer crashed. Don't matter, because he's not answering the phone anyway. Hang on. Let's try that again, shall we? There we go. Thank you.
Struck by lightning. Sounds pretty frightening. You know the chances are so small. If my feet stay nothing but a beat, they tell the chance you're gonna ride at the mall. But it's 23-4-1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. Get up, till the bookie put a bet on, not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are there.
Oh, man, we got there in the end. Yes, my computer decided to crash and freeze, but there we go. That's odds are. That's from the new album that's not yet out by the Bare Naked Ladies. Man, what a thrill. It's only Mr. Ed Robertson on the line. Good evening, Ed.
Oh, Ed, Ian, yes. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, man. How the devil are you? Are you all right?
I'm fantastic. You know, I've got a live record coming out, doing some more touring, luxuriating in the fine Toronto weather.
Is it? I'm going to warn you now, I can hear ever such a slight delay on the line, so it's going to make spontaneous banter, Ed, almost impossible. But don't worry, just stick to the script and we'll be okay. What is the weather like in Toronto now?
Spring has sprung. It is beautiful blue skies, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Now, I've only been to Canada once. I went to Montreal, where I had the tiniest part in a really awful, awful film with Angelina Jolie. Is Montreal anything like Toronto?
I would say only in that it is a large, bustling city, but I feel that Montreal feels a lot more like a cool European city, and Toronto is very much a big Canadian city.
Montreal does that thing where it thinks it's cooler than it actually is, and they have that because it's French Canada, which blew my mind. When I went there, and if you don't even make an attempt to speak French, like in France, they kind of look at you, they look down at you.
You will be punished if you don't at least make an attempt. It's worse, though, for Canadians, because we all should know how to speak French, because we study it mandatorily in school. And I have found that if I make more than a little bit of effort, it actually does come back to me.
Do you have to learn it? Because it's, I mean, I love Canada. It's like America, but without all of the war. Do you have to learn French? Because half of it's kind of French and half of it isn't. Do you all have to expected to know it?
We all have to study it. We don't all have to learn it.
Good for you. Good for you.
It is a mandatory part of the curriculum for about 10 years of study.
Now, listen.
So I would say, Ian, yeah. J'étudie le français dans l'école pour 10 ans, mais je ne speak very well. So.
We all learn French here, right? But always, and again, I stopped at j'ai 12 ans, so I can say I'm 12 years old, which you know, it was 30 years ago, Ed. I'm lying in French.
Yes.
And it's kind of a creepy lie as well for a 42-year-old man to pretend to be 12. We don't. really dig that. Listen, bare naked ladies.
It happens every second of every day on the internet.
Exactly. The internet is a very, very naughty place. Bare naked ladies, man, I love you guys. I'm confused, though, because you came over last year and you've just announced kind of a short tour again this year. What the hell is going on with you guys? Leave us alone.
We'd love to, but we enjoy it too much over there. It was really at the end of the last tour when we were doing the London show. We said, we've got to get back here sooner because these shows are so fun. And understand that us traveling over there is basically a financial loss situation for us. But we love the crowds over there. We love playing over there. So our agent of, 114 years now, Jeff Neal, who's been working with the band since the late 60s, we just corralled him and said, we want to get back as soon as possible. And that's what became this tour.
I'll tweet all the dates and do all the dates in a bit, but Glasgow, it's September, isn't it? And it's ending September the 9th, Friday, September the 9th in London at the Roundhouse. I'm coming, man, and I'm bringing my two boys. My six-year-old, it will be his third ever gig, and my four-year-old, you are his first ever concert. So no bad language, and make it good, please.
Well, you'll have to explain to both of them that it's all downhill after seeing us. I mean, they may want to wait and see a couple of, mediocre shows by comparison first.
My eldest, his first show was the Monkees. We're going to see Brian Wilson in May, and then it's you lot. So you've kind of got a lot to live up to. The first one, the youngest one, he's not seen anything. So, you know, you could just stand there for an hour. He won't know any different.
That's the holy trinity of modern music right there.
Let me play you this. My boys genuinely love you, right? And they love all of your stuff, not just Snack Time, the kids' album. They love all of the stuff. But we've just had an Easter holiday here, 3 weeks, 2 weeks with the kids, and I've been doing a lot of driving around. And as soon as we get in the car, the first thing they say is, can we have another postcard? I say, no. The next thing they say is, and I'm sure you'd appreciate that. The next thing they say is, can we have this? Oh, hang on a minute. Now my computer's crashed. Hang on a second. This is them. Hang on.
Oh, can we have total silence for once, Dad?
Can we, Dad? Can we have total silence? No, hang on a second. Let me get this. But basically, they love you. And your songs, some they're just brilliant pop songs. They kind of have... I made a mistake of saying childish to They Might Be Giants once when I meant childlike. Your songs kind of have a childlike quality about them, a lot of them, don't they?
In that they're able to absorb so much awesomeness and grow so quickly. Is that what you mean by childlike?
That's what I mean. It's not an insult. It's a compliment. They Might Be Giants were furious with me when I said, well, some of your songs are quite childish. Hang on a second. This is what we've had to... I blame you for this. Hang on.
7, 8, 9. I don't need to rest.
There we go. That's one of them. And then this.
The ninjas are deadly and silent.
Flipping, eh?
They're also unspeakably violent. They speak Japanese. They do whatever they please. And sometimes they vacation in Ireland.
Then you think it's finished.
The ninjas are deadly and silent. They're also unspeakably violent. They speak Japanese. They do whatever they please. And sometimes... And if you tear off their masks, they'll be smiling.
I don't know, Ed, if that's necessarily the kind of positive image we should be teaching our youngsters about an ancient underground army of Japanese warriors that killed people.
It's, you know, there is a depth to the cultural reference, but we're just using it as a fart joke.
So you had the album out last year, and the name is... I've just played The Odds Are from it, and I can't remember what the name of the blooming album is.
It is Bare Naked Ladies Rocks Red Rock.
Well, this is the new one that's coming out, isn't it? So you had the studio album out last year, and now you've got a live album coming out. I think it's coming out in May, isn't it, or something?
That is the case. Yes, sorry. The studio record was called Silver Ball.
Silver Ball, that was it. And that I'm getting the impression from following you lot on Twitter, you are obsessed with the Silver Ball with pinball.
I love pinball. I don't make a trip to London without visiting the Pipeline Arcade there. And there's a new one that I didn't get a chance to visit last time I was in town because we were staying way, way in the East End. There's a new one in the West End that's sort of a tea house and pinball shop, which I'm looking forward to checking out next time I'm in town.
Best pinball machine in the world?
For me, it's a new one. It's Stern's Walking Dead pinball machine that just came out last year.
That sounds dirty. I like the sound of that.
It is so fantastic. You know, there are pinball geeks who will tell you, oh, the greatest pinball machine in the world is the Twilight Zone machine or the Addams Family machine or the Attack from Mars, whatever, yeah. Some machine from what they consider the golden age of pinball in the mid to late 90s. I wholeheartedly disagree. The best machines ever are being produced right now.
Yeah. Have you got one yourself? Because I've always wanted one, but I buy so much crap off the internet and eBay that if I, you know, I buy like old like video games consoles like Nintendos and Segas and things. If I turned up one day with a pinball machine, I would be in very serious trouble. I'd be sleeping under it.
I don't have one. I have 15.
Flippin' heck, man. Look at that, the rock star lifestyle. This is awesome. Which wing of the mansion?
It happened in the late 90s.
Yeah.
It happened in the late 90s. I was doing that exact thing. I was searching eBay for something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this was in the early days of eBay, mind you, the 98, 99 eBay days. And
eBay
I was
classic.
Searching for some... So, yeah, some sort of Star Trek The Next Generation thing. I don't even remember what it was. And the Star Trek The Next Generation pinball machine popped up. And I thought, you can own a pinball machine? It had never occurred to me. And so I placed a bid, and I won a no-reserve auction, and I bought my first pinball machine for like $600.
Wow, you're such a geek, and I love it. And that's not an insult. Geek is not an insult in this country either, Ed. Ed, I've got to pay the bills. Can I come back to you in about 90 seconds? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Bless you, mate. Thank you very much. This is Ian Lee at Talk Radio, speaking to Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm a little bit worse for wear. Got a little bit more grey hair.
This is Ian Lee on Talk Radio. That's the Bare Naked Ladies. Get Back Up from the excellent album Silver Ball. Ed, how do you... Ed Robertson from Bare Naked Ladies is on the line. How do you still manage to churn out... And again, churn sounds like an insult. I don't even like that. But such good pop... it sounds awful, doesn't it? But you keep churning out this rubbish. How do you keep finding different tunes? It always strikes me that songwriters can write, like, hundreds of songs, but they can still keep doing stuff that's different. Don't you just run out of ideas?
I always think I'm going to run out of ideas, but I just love music and I love writing music. And I think the secret is to just enjoy what you do. I write because I like to write. I don't write because I'm desperate to accomplish something with my writing. And that has really kind of taken the pressure off of writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I write something and I think, oh, that sounds a little bit like X. You know, that reminds me of something. So I just change it.
You mentioned, you joked about, you know, being around in the 60s. You've been around for ages, but not then. And you reminded me, I'm just reading Paul Stanley's autobiography, Paul Stanley from Kiss. I don't know if you were ever a huge Kiss fan, but I've just got to the part where Kiss have released songs from the Elder, the concept album. You guys ever consider doing a concept?
I think Brian Adams did some writing on that record.
Brian Adams and Lou Reed, yeah.
I hate to go deep on the Kiss trivia with you, Ian, but I can go there if we need to.
I love Kiss. I love
the... You know, I grew up all over concept records. I was a big Rush fan growing up.
Of course,
and they were
yeah.
the kind of the kings of the concept records, you know. So... other than a kids record and a holiday record, at this point, we haven't done a record about, you know, Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit or 51. We haven't gone there yet, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for this band.
I would flip in love that. And you are a band that's full of surprises, you know, with the kids album, which is brilliant for adult. You know, I bought it years before I had kids, with the Christmas record that gets, you know, dug out kind of the last week of November every year. You know, carrying on after Stephen left, still producing brilliant albums, still, you know, still selling out around the world. And you're right, you have got, there is a lot of affection for you in this country.
Well, we're very fortunate, you know, and not just because of the result of what we do. You know, people come out to see us, they have a good time, they come out again and again. All of that is amazing, but the reason we're most fortunate is because we're still doing this and loving it more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it easy to contemplate going back in to do another record, coming back over to the UK, doing another tour, when it's like, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I said to my boys recently, I've got 13-year-old and 16-year-old boys and a 20-year-old daughter. And wow. I said, I was talking to my boys recently, and I said, you know, there was a period in my career when I was so busy and so swamped, and I always felt like, oh, I have to go do this tour, or I have to go do this gig, I have to go shoot this music video, I have to go to this awards show. And now, at this period in my career, I'm always feeling like, oh, I get to go on tour, I get to go do this award show, I get to go shoot this music video. I'm like, this. I just feel very grateful that I'm still doing this.
Very quickly, I'm going to let you go. I will let you go in a second. You can go anytime you want, Ed, if you want to slam the phone down. Two final things. I noticed that the excellent Howard Jones is supporting you on that side. Are you bringing Howard back over here? Because we miss him.
I would love that. I don't know who the opener is going to be on the UK tour as of yet, but I am so looking forward to... we've got Howard Jones and OMD on the American tour.
For a pair of opening acts, man, that's amazing.
I know. The 18-year-old in me is losing his mind right now.
Well, tell them, and tell Howard Jones in particular, we love him.
I will tell him. My wife actually saw him last year, and it was my wife's suggestion to try and get him for the American tour. You know, last year... we had Colin Hay out with us, and it was such a great fit. And my wife went to see Howard and said, oh, he really reminds me of Colin. He's just a wise guy. He's really been there. He's had big hits, but he's still got the voice. He's still a great performer, and he's got loads of amazing stories. So I can't wait.
And finally, how cool was it? And you've been asked this a million times, and I try and do questions that people haven't been asked, but you know what? I don't care. How cool was it, and I watched it again tonight, when you got to sing with Chris Hadfield on the International Space Station? He was on the space station, you were on Earth, and you did a duet together. That must have been amazing.
It is one of the absolute highlights of my career. It was an incredible thing. First of all, just to be asked to write a song with Chris, who's an amazing guy. But then as the whole project shaped up and culminated with us doing a live performance with us in a studio in Toronto and Chris on the International Space Station, it was just a really, really magical moment.
Ed, listen, it's so nice to talk to you. And you've been so kind to me the last few months with stuff that's going on. And, you know, personally, thank you very, very much. When you sent me that message on Twitter, it meant so much. So I really appreciate that. The new album is coming out soon. Bare Naked Ladies, Rocks Red Rocks, live album. The tour in the UK, again, is Glasgow. It's all in early September. Glasgow on the 2nd, then Bournemouth, Cardiff, Liverpool, Cambridge, ending at the moment on the 9th September, London, the Roundhouse. I'm going to be there. If you see me, you can come and say hello, but please don't touch me, anybody. I don't like being touched, Ed. I don't know about you, but when random people touch me, it makes me very uncomfortable.
I actually like it quite a bit, and I intend to touch you at the Roundhouse, so prepare yourself for that.
I might just let you touch me, Ed. You're a very attractive young man. Hey, listen, man, best of luck with the tour. I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much.
Lovely, Ian. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, mate. Take care. There we go. Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies. BareNakedLadies.com, of course, if you want to go and find the details. They were only over here last year, and I didn't get to go last year. Couldn't get to go because of work and life and stuff like that. I'm taking the night off work to go and see those guys. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm taking Friday, September the 9th off to go and see the Bare Naked Ladies live in concert. How's about them apples, huh? My youngest first ever gig. That'll earn him. What a lovely bloke. Thank you, Ed. I really appreciate that. Right, so how is the show going to work tonight? It's going to be an interesting one, or it might be a dull one. We just don't know. Kath, come and join me. I suspect... There's the papers. I suspect it's going to be hard work tonight. It's a brand new radio station, ladies and gentlemen. It's week five. Week five of a new show on a new station. And we've had loads of people calling up, which is great. And we've had loads of people calling up that followed me from the BBC, that followed us from the BBC, that followed me from LBC, from Absolute, from all these places, right? And that is great. And I appreciate nearly all of those calls.
Yeah.
There are one or two of them you think, geez, not you.
but you'll never know because he's such a pro.
They're all sat at home now thinking, does he mean me? Well, if you're thinking that, yes, I do.
I would say if you're not thinking that, then it's definitely you.
But it can't be me because I'm not thinking it.
It's you.
There we go, exactly.
Do you know what I want to hear tonight?
Yeah.
Girls. More girls.
Girls, girls, girls. Okay, name. How many songs can you name? All right, let's play Girls, Girls, Girls Poker.
Okay.
Well, I'm not even explaining what the concept of the show is yet. We'll do it in a bit. I'm in no rush.
Some girls, Rolling Stones.
No. Girls, songs where the title is Girls, Girls, Girls. Boom, go!
Did Elvis do one? Girls, Girls, Girls.
Nope.
Was he in a film called Girls, Girls, Girls?
Nope.
I can't play it.
Okay, well, I can name two.
Does that mean you win?
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, no, I can't. I can only name one.
Because
the song I was singing, Girls, 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 was actually Boys, Boys, Boys,
Boys. Boys. I'm looking for a good time.
Whatever happened to her? I bet she's sagging
some
now.
Some stuff.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm.
What? Is she dead?
Stuff.
Sabrina?
Sabrina.
The teenage... She was a witch, wasn't she?
No.
Her aunt
she's
was...
40.
Sabrina follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, she's...
The teenage witch.
Yeah.
Her aunt was sexy.
Which one?
Norma.
There was one with a husky voice.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, she was.
So what happened to Sabrina? Not the teenager. Is she dead?
No.
Sex scandal. Bungie party.
Some stuff.
What?
Some
drugs?
Stuff. Let's just say she was looking for a good time. She found one.
Wowzers. I was thinking of Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
Okay, well, good. You win.
So, the way tonight... And what isn't... By the way, isn't Ed Robertson the nicest guy in the world?
He looks like my Spanish boyfriend.
Oh, Catherine.
Javier.
Catherine.
He does.
Here's the thing, guys. When I got shafted by the BBC, there we go. Kath and I, 2 weeks, it was 2 weeks after it, wasn't it? 2 weeks after, because that was when my boss decided to call me for the first time since.
Your ex-boss.
Got the boot. Yeah. We went to Slovakia to talk to some... Oh, am I allowed to say now that we got paid for that? Okay. To talk to another radio station over there. And while we were over there, I came rushing down. It was really exciting anyway. And I came rushing downstairs into the hotel lobby and said, "You'll never believe who's just messaged me sent me a direct message on Twitter." You went, "Who?" "It's Ed Robertson from Bare Naked Ladies. And he's given me his phone number and he's given me his email address."
And you were understandably proper miserable at the time.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
your
yeah,
little
yeah.
face lit up. It was wonderful.
And he sent a message saying, "You're a good man. The interview that you did with us, the best interview on that tour, it may or may not have been, but he said it, you know what I mean? If there's anything I can do to help you, ask. And if we're ever nearby, call us and we'll get some tickets for the show."
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Was that before or after you stood in that cupboard?
Because you get the thing. That was after the cupboard.
Yeah.
After the cupboard. So the Bare Naked Ladies. Some people go, "Bare Naked Ladies.
They're brilliant."
Oh, jeez. All they know is "It's Ben." That's the only one they know, right? Which is a brilliant song in itself. Mm-hmm. I went off them a little bit when that came out because I felt that my band had sold out.
Oh, what really? They hadn't sold out. You just heard the song a lot.
They were a pop band, but they're flipping brilliant. They have not done. They have not done one dud album, and I can say that with hand on heart. They've done something better than others. At the worst, Their worst album...
You're really brave now you've spoken to him, aren't you?
I would say this to his face. I said he churns them out.
Yeah, and then you retracted heavily. Yeah.
Well, I'll retract this.
Go on, then.
Their worst album is good. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Their worst album is good. Mm. Whereas even the Beatles did... The Beatles... All right, let's play Bad... Are they coming on? Yeah, go. You rack them up. We'll explain the concept. It's new callers only. I'll explain it all in a bit. 0844-499-1000. Let's play Bad Beatle Album Poker.
I don't know. I don't think I can play it.
Why?
Because I can't say it.
Right, OK. Well, I'll call two.
Go on.
Let It Be.
Are you being deliberately obtuse?
No, Let It Be is not a very good album. Paul McCartney hates it.
Oh.
Because you know why?
That would make me like it.
Because Spectre sprayed his seed all over it.
But he was good. Spectre was good.
Yeah, Spectre murdered someone.
Yeah, okay, he wasn't good for that.
Spectre sprayed all over it. It was Paul wanted it to be stripped down, acoustic. He wanted it to be like MTV Unplugged.
He wanted all together now. La,
no. But what he didn't want was a choir of angels singing on the long and winding road. Awful, awful choir on there. Awful. That Spectre did that. And so much so that when Phil Spector was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994, Paul McCartney walked out of the awards.
Wow.
Walked out of the awards. Didn't want anything to do with him. But he was still so angry at what Spector had done to Let It Be. The other bad...
Macca nurses his rage, doesn't he?
The other Bad Beatles album, I'll tell you after these short ads.
Ooh. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Can you stop bullying them?
They're doing it now. Come on,
gosh, look at that.
You can watch the show as well. Thank you. You can watch the show as well as listen on periscope.tv/Ian Lee or go to talkradio.co.uk. Beatles for Sale.
Right.
Terrible album.
I don't think I've heard it.
They'd run out of steam from their first period and they didn't have... There's loads of covers on there. It's not very good.
What's on it?
Babies in Black. That's quite good. Oh, dear, what can I do? Babies in Black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, ooh, what can I do? Hey! Oh, dear, what can I do? Babies in Black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, whoa, what can I do? Oh, there's Ringo Starr.
I don't know it.
Okay, it's good. Well, that's actually quite a good song. Mary's called in. Good evening, Mary.
Hello.
Hello, Mary. I've got to explain. The show has started. I need to explain what's going on, Mary. It's new callers only. So...
I am a new caller.
I know you are. And that's why... And 0844-499-1000. We call you back. So you dial up, you speak to Weird or Catherine, and then we call you back. So, this could mean there's a lot of me. I've got loads of stuff that was in the newspapers. It could be there's just a lot of me waffling on. And I'm happy with that.
I'm pretty confident you're going to get some new voices like this one, Mary's. Yeah. Mary's new voice.
It's a new voice.
Alan told me to call you yesterday.
Who did?
Alan is my friend.
Yeah, Alan. Alan Caddick.
That's the one, the Villa supporter.
Yep.
He told me I was going to ring yesterday and he said, no, ring on Tuesday because he saw no callers.
Yes.
And we're friends, you see. We go for a cup of tea sometimes together.
Yeah. How many fingers am I holding up?
Four.
No, it's three. Why couldn't you see how many fingers I was holding up?
Because I'm on the telephone to you.
Okay. What's that in front of you now?
A radio.
What colour is the radio?
White.
She's got you there.
She's got me there. All right, fair play. All right. Go on then, Mary, what do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say you do a brilliant show.
Thank you, you're right. This is what I wanted to talk about. I remembered it now.
Well, brilliant you are.
No, memories. I was listening. So I listened to an album, right, that I have not listened to I've probably not listened to it for 22 years. Mm. Okay, it was big when I was 17, right? I've not listened to it for 22 years, right? And I listened to it. I bought it again because I'm hoping to get the guy on. The Lars.
Oh, yeah.
The Lars.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to it. I had it in the car today. And suddenly, I was back in the packing area of B-Jams where I used to work. and I was taking the cassette of that album out. I'd actually bought the cassette. I didn't even tape it off the vinyl. I bought the cassette. Cracked case. I took the cassette out and I put it into the Geno's cassette player we had there. And I closed it. And I could even feel on my Peter Pointer the nodules on the play button of the cassette player. The memories. I could feel it. And I was stood. And I was driving, but I was stood in the area. And I could feel the cold behind me and hear the shop out by the right. And I was there. So the question is, Mary, what is memory?
Well, memory is in your brain, isn't it?
Well, it is. But what is it? What is it? How did that album... Let me finish. How did that album transport me back through time 25 years? I was 17 years old.
Well, you should know that, shouldn't you?
Well, no. I'm asking you, Mary.
She's a tricky one.
Well, you probably yesterday you were saying, wasn't you, that sometimes you're reading something and then it just pops up in your head.
No. Oh, well, yeah. Is everything all right, Manny?
Pardon?
You're good. You're good. Thanks for calling, Manny. Mary, I mean?
Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
0844. And that's probably as good as it's going to get.
New voices only.
0844. And I don't mind if no one calls it. And I, the thing is, if no one calls in, people go, oh, it didn't work. And the station's rubbish. And it shows rubbish. And it didn't work.
I must go on Digital Spy and share that.
But the thing is, if no one calls in, I would consider that a success.
So
don't call in, actually. No, I wouldn't. If people don't call in, fine. All right, well, that's interesting, and we'll try it again in another couple of months. In fact, yeah. If people don't call in, we will try it again in 2 months' time to see if there's any difference. I would like to hear new voices. I would like to hear more women calling in, like Mary, and thank you so much for that. You could really sense her ovaries. A real sense of ovaries. How many ovaries does a woman have?
Two.
Okay. Really? I need to make a phone call in the next break. So people call in, that's great. And what happens is there are lots of people who listen at home and go, oh, I must call him one day. I must give him a call one day and tell him I think he's an idiot or whatever. Okay. Or someone's listening and go, I know what memory is. I know how you can hear. I know how a memory means you can feel something with your finger when you're not even touching
anything. What could you smell when you were pressing that?
I couldn't smell anything.
Oh, right. Wasn't a very good memory then.
No, I was there. I could, the sound, it was the feeling of that, the little bumps on the play button. So anyway, we're all over the shop, and that is kind of what the show is about. And I know it's always weird to start a show with a guest. Deal with it. So, new callers only tonight, please. 0844 499 1000. You can just phone up just to say, I did it. You can phone up talk about anything you want, and I will sit here and I will talk about stuff, and you can call in about that stuff if you want, or you don't have to call in about that. You can call in about anything. Or if you want to have a game of iPod roulette, I think I've got my iPod in my bag. Whatever you want to do, man. Tonight's show is going to be ramshackle. Tomorrow's show is going to be ramshackle as well.
Yeah.
Buckley's coming in. James Buckley's coming in. Mm-hmm. Jay from The Inbetweeners. Maybe I should stop calling him that. The thing is, because I try not to say, like Ed from The Bare Naked Ladies, or it's Mickey Dolenz from The Monkees. I try not to say that.
Yeah, but then people join us late and they don't know who we're talking
exactly.
To.
Well, exactly. It's a really good shorthand, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I don't do, I did it with Tommy James. No, I didn't do it with Tommy James. I don't play the greatest hits when they come on. It would have been easy with Ed to have started off with One Week.
It's been.
Yeah, it started off with that and then finished with $1 million or something. Would have been easy. No, I played a track from the new live album. I played my kids singing obscure songs from their kids' album to him. Beautiful. And I love doing that. And generally, John Sebastian. If you're new to this show, you miss John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful. John Sebastian, now they're calling him. John Sebastian comes on. It would have been so easy to play Got a Day for a Daydreamer. Hot down around the sunny,
you didn't play him, did you?
No, I didn't play that. Played one from his obscure 1978 solo album. First thing he said was, thank you so much for playing that. He wasn't expecting that.
No.
He was sat there going, all right, honey, let's have a bet. Is it going to be Summer in the City or Daydream? Oh, my God, it's one of the 78 album. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then I can see the phone calls racking up. Rack those three up, please, Ed. 0844 499 1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Build it, and they will come. Let's go to... It's new callers only tonight, guys. 0844 499 1000. You call us, we call you back. James is on the line. Good evening, James.
Are you all right there, Ian?
I'm all right at the moment, James. I'm expecting tonight is going to be a little bit of a slog, but let's see how we get on. What you got for us, James?
I just wanted to call up and really ask what the discussions are tonight, see what's happening.
Well, there's not really a lot of discussions at the moment. I want to talk about one thing. I do want to know what... do you tweet, James?
I'm not a regular tweeter, no. We're watching you on Periscope at the moment, though.
Hello, Periscopers. Periscope.tv/Ian Lee. I want to know... I've got a guy, and I can't find him now. A guy called Andrew, I think his name is... who he's just started tweeting. I retweeted him. Oh, I've got to play the answer phone messages as well later on. It's the best answer phone messages ever. And I retweeted him. And Paul Gardner. I'm a new guy on Twitter. Can you help me to know what people to follow? Right. And then you can see his first ever tweet. And his first ever tweet is delightful.
Oh, yeah.
First ever tweet 11 hours ago. I'm loving my day. Come on, man. Isn't that fantastic?
It sounds like a happy guy, though.
Now,
he had a good day.
Now, is that me pinging or you pinging?
That is me pinging.
Okay, you ping. I don't know what my first tweet was, because I had to wrestle my Twitter account off of someone who set it up pretending to be me, like years and years and years ago. And I had to kind of... first of all, I wasn't that bothered because I thought Twitter would never catch on. Didn't it look rubbish? Someone should tweet a picture of what Twitter first looked like, because it was rubbish. And I thought, well, this is never going to catch on. I remember my producer at the time, a chancer called Davis, who was a terrible, terrible man. That's not fair. He was a good man, but we didn't see eye to eye on what radio should be. It wasn't terrible at all. He showed it to me, and I went, nah, I don't want to. And I partly, here we go, this is another thing. What did you not like? Because the person who showed it to you, you didn't get on with. For me, it was Twitter, because the person showing it to me, I didn't really. If he'd have said, you know, it's white, I'd have said, no, it's black, Davis. And that was kind of our relationship. So... Things that you don't like that perhaps you should like, but you didn't like the person that showed them to you, so you thought, I'm not going to like that to teach them a lesson. Your first ever tweet, and what are memories?
My first ever tweet.
And what are memories?
Are you asking me what my first ever tweet was and my favourite memory?
No. I'm asking you, what is your first ever tweet, and what are memories?
My first ever tweet, I'm pretty sure it was something embarrassing. I was quite young when I got Twitter, and I'm pretty sure it's just something like, hi guys, I am on Twitter.
That's a nice tweet. That's a nice tweet. The thing is, you, how old, can I ask how old you are, James?
I am currently 22.
Oh, flipping it, man.
I know. Ding! I'm growing up.
You've got it all ahead of you, man. And this sounds like a patronising old fart, right? Because I'm 20 years older than you. But when you're a fat, grey-haired, 42-year-old man who's on their last chance saloon because everything has gone tits up in their career, you'll be speaking to a 22-year-old and going, oh, man, don't muff it up, James. Don't muff it up.
I'll make my way.
Do what do you want? What do you want to do? What do you do?
I currently study radio and television.
Hey, Mickey Mouse, I like it.
I
nearly said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" That's how old I am compared to you. So, what do you want to do this nonsense then?
I'm interested in radio, but I'm really not sure what I want to do. I'd really like to venture into video, maybe.
Oh yeah. It's what do you mean video? Like pop videos, monkey videos. What do you mean?
TV, but yeah, monkey videos. I wouldn't mind going with Nat Geo. I think being a cameraman for them would be quite an honor.
Well, I said monkey. You heard monkey. There's a Freudian slip if ever there was one. Well, James, you know, TV's fun, right? I did TV for a little bit, and you won't remember. God, God, you would have been... I'm so old. You'd have been seven when I was big on TV. Big. I mean, big, big in inverted commas, in italics, and, you know, with much irony. You'd have been 7 years old.
Yeah.
Where did it all go wrong, James? You still not told me what memories are.
Memories, I think memories are just things we hold on to, moments that we hold on to. We like to look back at them and reflect on them, and they are...
But how do we, right? I was listening to an album today that was released 3 years before you were born.
Yeah.
And I could feel on my finger the little nodules on the cassette player, when I pressed play. It was Gino's cassette player in the back of BJAMS. Now, several things in that sentence will be a foreign language to you. Cassette player, BJAMS, all of these things. But how could I feel it on my finger?
How can you feel the cassette player?
In a memory.
Well, it's kind of an inception sort of thing. I think there's some people that believe when you lucid dream, you have to press hard onto your hand.
I've heard that.
If you push through, then you're dreaming. But if not, then you know you're awake, I guess.
James, how's your first call been? Has it been, for those people that are nervous to call in, has it been all right?
I am quite nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been very nervous this whole call. I've been very tense. I don't really know what to say.
Mate, you've been...
trying to go along with it.
Mate, you've been on for 10 minutes. I've enjoyed our conversation. You've done brilliantly.
Oh, I'm glad that you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it too.
Nice one, mate. And
it's an experience.
It's an experience. I can hear your mate giggling in the background. You called and they didn't, James. You win.
All right, thank you, Ian.
Take care, mate. Ta-ta.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
There we go. I think this is going to work tonight, guys. This is going to be much better than I anticipated. Thank you, James. He did brilliantly. He was nervous. I didn't notice. I noticed at the start, but I didn't notice at the end. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. You call up, but the moment you'll speak to Id, he'll call you back. Adam's on the line. Hello, Adam.
Oh, hi there.
How you doing, mate?
Not too bad. I thought I'd contribute by calling in. First time caller.
Well, it's very nice. I suppose I've got to ask the question. How long have you been listening?
Since I was 14, so about 10 years ago. I started listening to you.
Do you know what? Today's show is going to remind me that I'm old. That's what it's going to do, that I'm old and I'm fat and I'm past it. That's what I'm feeling.
But actually, this is not the first time we've spoken. Uh-oh. Even though it's the first time caller, you swore at me on Xbox and deleted me.
Not recently, was it?
No, this was about 9 years. 9 years ago.
Explain the. Okay, good, because I've been doing that this week as well. Some things never change. What were we playing?
So what happened?
It would have been Rainbow Six, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't. Yeah, Rainbow Six.
Of course it was.
And I managed to work out your gamer tag by. Right. Tracking, well, speaking to people on your Ian Lee chat room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was getting very sweet with people,
yeah.
Flirting with the people needed to give me your gamer tag.
Yeah.
Added you and joined the game.
Yeah,
I said your name.
Oh, no.
And you swore at me and deleted me.
Just for that?
Well, I killed you. I team killed you.
So, you twit! So I didn't kill you because you said my name. I killed you because blocked you because you team killed me.
Yeah, and that, yeah, but yeah.
Then did you teabag me after that?
No, I was laughing. I started saying your name, like Ian Lee, and you deleted me.
Wow, you this is, we didn't have a word for it then, but back then you were trolling me.
Yeah, 14-year-old trolling you, or 15.
You invented trolling. Well, Adam, I would like to apologise for being so crap at Rainbow Six that I allowed you to team kill me. And if you ever came on again now, you wouldn't team kill me because I'm really good at it and I would team kill you.
Fair enough.
One thing
I would say, though, I was quite upset that you gave your gamer tag out a couple of weeks ago to some random guy in the on the radio.
Mate, that was 10 years. It was 10 years ago we had beef. Get over it. Go over it.
If anyone... No, I mean, 10 years ago, you wouldn't give out your gamer tag easily.
Do you know what I did? I did, actually. About, for those who don't know, we're talking about playing games, like video games on the Xbox, and there is a way... Because there'll be people listening, Adam, who don't actually understand this. And there is a way you can find... You don't use your real name on there. I think I was using Mickey Dolenz at the time. I made the mistake of actually giving out my gamer tag on air, right? And I went home that night, and I had about 100 friend requests. And people, and some of the people were nice, but some of them were idiots. And it was a terrible mistake. If you want to have, are you still on Xbox now, Adam?
Yeah, unfortunately so. Yeah, I haven't grown up.
Add Michael. I'm Michael Nesmith. Add me. I'll meet you on Rainbow Six. I will destroy you.
Sounds good.
I will destroy you. Do you know what memories are?
Have no clue.
This is the thing. Okay, here's another question. How come we can hear our thoughts? Who's doing the talking?
Your brain.
Brains can't talk.
Self-conscious.
Yeah, well, but why does it sound like me?
My one doesn't sound like me, does it? I'm not too sure.
To be fair,
when I hear my voice back, it doesn't sound like how I presume it sounds.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever I listen to a clip of yesterday's show, I hate listening back to me, and I listened to a clip of it, and it was in my head I sound quite posh, and in real life I sound dead common.
Yeah, I think I sound pretty cool, but hearing my voicemail or
all right, just be quiet. Right, think a sentence in your head, but don't say it. And then I want you to tell me what the voice. Try and tell me what the voice sounds like if it's your voice or someone else's. So go on, just think something in your head.
Okay. Yeah. I think it sounds like me.
Nice one, Adam. Thanks for calling, mate.
No worries.
Take care.
Oh, well, one second.
Oh yeah,
one
go
second. Can I just quickly do this? I've been waiting for 9 years to do this.
Uh oh, here we go.
Praddy.
Do you want a competition? Do you want to do it properly?
Yeah, go on.
All right. I haven't done this for a while. I've got to stand up to do it these days. Okay. Hang on a second. I need. It is that we've had more phone calls tonight than we've had since we started. Id, can I have a second? I need you to say 1, 2, 3, go.
One.
No, not yet. I've got to get ready. You ready, Adam?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, go.
Praddy.
You be hear me.
And I'm going to stop there, Adam, with plenty of puff left. You waited 9 years. Thank you for calling, Adam. Ta-ta.
No worries.
There we go. Ed's looking at me, he's like, what was that? What the hell was that?
No, Kath explained it to me. Oh, the first week when you guys did it, I was like, okay, what's going on here? What have I just joined?
0844-499-1000. There's a nice lot of calls coming in. I'm keeping a little tally of how many we've got. We've already had three, if we include Mary. And that's three more than I was expecting it to be. And I can see a few familiar names calling in. You've got to be clever. Mark's on the line. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Ed. How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you, Mark. We've never spoken.
We have.
Oh, God. When did I swear at you? That seems to be the theme of the evening.
Well, I'm a new voice. I've never phoned in before. I've listened to you for donkey's years, to be honest. Absolutely donkey's years.
Yeah.
But I'm 43 years old. I'm as nervous as a kitten. Dry mouth. I've got the shaky knee, everything.
Yeah, whenever I phone up... They asked me to go on John Holmes' show the other day to do, like, a phone-in, and I couldn't do it. And I was kind of relieved because as I was working out whether I could do it, I got all nervous. And when I do interviews on the phone for live radio, my leg goes. My right leg just starts twitching away. And I have to pace around the room to walk it off while I'm talking.
So I've never called in, but we have spoken. We've spoken a couple of times.
Go on.
The second time you called me a dick. I spoke to you after a couple of your shows, one in Swindon and one in Bath.
Swindon and Bath. Okay, Swindon when there were about 25 people there.
That's right. right, and the guy turned up late. That wasn't me, by the way. That was somebody else.
And the bath one was a joy. That's when it started to get into its groove. The bath one.
Oh, it was rocking. Yeah. Absolutely spot on, the one in Bath.
Why did I call you that? Horrible, horrible word. What were you doing to deserve that treatment?
Well, I did deserve it. I have to say I did deserve it. I was the guy who I took my 14-year-old daughter, and she was desperate to speak to you in Swindon, and I hogged the conversation.
Oh, yeah, you did. You brought your daughter all the way along, and you had, that's why you had to bring her to the second show so that she could say hello.
I brought her to the second one so that she could say hello, and you refused to speak to me. You absolutely blanked me.
Good. Did I give her a T-shirt?
You did.
Oh, good for her. How's she doing? Did. Is she all right?
She is. She absolutely loves it, and she loves you, and she loves the new show. She's asleep at the moment, but...
good for her.
Yeah, she absolutely loves it.
Is it? Can I ask a question? I've only got a minute left, and this is a genuine concern. That's because I'm aware that I know it's a late night show, but I also know that I've got lots of young people that listen either to the podcast or to the show, and I'm great with that. There are some people who don't want, you know, like 11, 12-year olds listening. I love it. Let's get them hooked young.
Yeah.
Is it a little bit too rude, the show?
No. This show isn't. I mean, my
sure?
secondary school. Believe me, she is a lot worse.
Yeah, I suppose so. You know, they know more swear words than we're ever going to know, don't they?
Oh yeah, she shocks me sometimes, but she's pretty good, really.
It's funny because my niece and nephew who listen sometimes in New Zealand, it's their school holidays. They're going to call in this week, hopefully, maybe next week.
Is that Pepper and Dylan?
Dylan and Pepper, look, they're all celebrities. Awesome. And I worry that it's a little bit too rude for them sometimes. And I want to get the balance. I want it, you know, to be a show for adults, but I also want kids to. Oh, well, kids like rude stuff, don't they?
I think you tread the line really well, though.
Mark, that wasn't so bad, was it?
That was all right. I'll call again.
It was all right. Nice to speak to you, Mark. Thank you very much indeed. New callers only. Martin, stay there. You'll be up next.
Talk Radio.
Right, so it's new callers only tonight. The way it works is very simple. You dial 0844 499 1000. You'll speak to Ed or Catherine. We call you back. It's as simple as that. We call you back. So the call's on our dollar. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Bare Naked Ladies. We're talking about memories, your first ever tweet. We're talking about whatever you want to, really. We can play iPod roulette. We can have a look at the papers. I'm not that fussed. It's nice and relaxed, but the rule is we can't have spoken on the radio before. Got it?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, new callers only. I'm not going to give out the phone number because the switchboard is full. It is full. I've never seen it so full in my life. Well, not here anyway. Other places, maybe. Here, it's full. There's only two lines free. Flipping heck. So I'm not going to give out the phone number, but the rule is you can't have called in before. Simple as that. Martin's on the line. Good evening, Martin.
I think you might cut me off.
Well, why is that, Martin?
Because I haven't spoke to you before on this radio station, but I haven't spoke to you for 10 years.
10 years.
Remember that.
10 years. Well, tell me what. Why is it taking you 10 years to call in again?
I couldn't afford the phone call.
What?
I couldn't. Well, you've been all over.
Hello.
Well,
you're breaking up. But that's not me.
When you were in, when you were up in Bedfordshire, I was in London, so I couldn't get you on the radio. You see,
I've not been all. I've only worked at two stations since then.
Have you?
Yeah, Virgin and Absolute and LBC. Three counties.
All the time on LBC.
Three counties.
All right. Well, can I apologise for not calling you then?
You can do it tomorrow. Is that all right?
Yeah, all right.
There we go. Larry's on the line. Evening, Larry.
Hello there. Good evening.
Good evening, Larry. What have you got for us?
First time caller.
Yep.
I'm a very posh man from Hertfordshire, if you don't mind.
Oh, Hertfordshire, very nice. Whereabouts in Hertfordshire?
Do you know Watford at all?
I do know it. It's a bit of a dump.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm not from there. I'm from the posh part, Bushy.
Ooh.
Yes.
Do you like Bushy?
I'm familiar with the Bushy area. Now, I phoned...
How long have you been in the Bushy area?
Well, I've been trying to get out of the Bushy area for quite some time, but, you know, it's difficult to get out.
Well, once you're in there, you kind of get stuck there, don't you, in the Bushy area?
Well, yes, you do, but I've found I've ensconced myself very nicely in the Bushy area.
Yes.
I'm poking around for somewhere else, you know, to live.
Is it snug in the Bushy area?
It's very... I'm in a cul-de-sac, yeah. I believe, as a posh man, I don't hold track with double entendres like that. Hello?
Jen, say hello to Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, you're very sexy, aren't you?
Are you in the Bushy area?
Oh, no. Where are you phoning from?
I'm from Nottingham. I'm not from the Bushy area.
No, OK. I was phoning about memories, love.
About memories?
Yeah, memories.
Have you got any particularly good memories?
Oh, well, what I was going to say was going to make the point that the young people, they film everything nowadays. Mostly around the Bushy area.
My life at gigs.
Yeah. Isn't... Oh, you're a pop star?
I'm not a pop star. I'm a rock fan.
Oh, okay. And all I was going to say was, you know, one has so many lovely memories of, you know, times past that grow with him, probably deeply exaggerated over time. And if they'd been filmed, then you wouldn't be able to romanticise them so much.
For example, Larry, what memories have you got? Hang on a minute. Let me elucidate.
Yeah.
What memories have you got that would have been cheapened had they been filmed on a video camera?
Well, kissing my Margaret in the Bushy area, for example. I took the opportunity. She was squatting in North Watford, but she got up from behind a couple, and it was... And after that, you know, we kissed, and what I will say was appalling. This was 1951. I didn't know anything like it. Her tongue went round and round and round. It's disgusting. I leaned forward and kissed her, and her tongue's... getting disgusting. Went all round in my mouth. Absolutely revolting. But, you know, since then I said, stop that. A simple peck on the cheek would do. And that's it. And once, when we went on the Underground, I kissed her all round the circle and right up the Hammersmith and City. It was lovely. But I didn't use no tongues. If I'd filmed it, you know, I wouldn't have to be taking back my hypnotherapy to erase this horrible memory from my mind. And then I kissed her. Oh, and then I kissed her. I got a blister.
You normally have to ring an 090 number for this sort of thing.
Yes. But it did go round and round, and it was appalling.
But now you've settled down in the Bushy area.
Well, yes. You know, I think I'd probably, you know, I'd like to spend my last days in the Bushy area. I'd like to be buried in the Bushy area, really. I have been on more than... Anyway, I will say goodnight, because I think...
Why have you never called before, Larry, very quickly before you go?
I didn't like to. I've heard other people, some silly old sod occasionally rings in. I don't know whether he's been in the Bushy area himself, but...
Not for something. If you're referring to Barry from Watford, I think we've managed to work the phone system here.
Yes.
So that he's blocked.
Okay.
So he can't get on.
Well, let's hope he buggers off.
Exactly. And okay. I don't think he's going to be around for much longer. I'm not saying we're going to have him murdered, but he's on his last legs.
Well, he's somewhere with his head down in the Bushy area.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Larry. Ta-ta.
Wow.
Well, Jen, there's
hello.
There's an eye opener for all of us, huh?
He was quite the shy and retiring fellow, wasn't he?
Wasn't he just? Yeah, I'm sorry that your first call had to, you had to listen to that. Jen, you've called in. Why have you never spoken before? Why have we never spoken?
Well, I just haven't. I always like listening to people such as him. It's a bit intimidating for having to follow that act, I must say.
Oh, no, it's not. But you have you been listening for a while to me?
I have, yes.
Right, well, then you'll know that it's all kind of very relaxed and there's no pressure to perform. And this show, more than any of the others, I think, is kind of, you know, it's like a nice... friendly atmosphere. I think that's what I'm aiming for, it to be friendlier here than it's ever been before.
It is. We had a giggle. That was definitely an icebreaker. That's all I'm saying. As far as icebreakers go, he's nailed it. So you need the checks in the post to him, as far as I'm concerned.
Is there anything you want to talk about? Because the things I've got are your first ever tweets and what are memories. But if there's anything you want to talk about, you can. Or if you just want to say, do you know what, that was fun, I'm off, you can split, Jen. It's up to you.
Yeah, we can talk. I think my first ever tweet was something about... because it was the 10th anniversary this year, so everybody was searching to see what their first one was.
Yeah.
And my first one was something like, oh, I've got to be up in 4 hours. And I'd done a photo shoot the day before. Uh-huh. So I was really excited about that.
Twitter annoys me, right? I hated it when I was introduced to it because Davis introduced it to me. And so I thought, if you like it, I'm not going to like it. And I couldn't see the potential in it. And then I kind of got really into it. And now I wish we didn't.
Can't stop.
Well, no, it's very Moorish. And today I was thinking, do you know what? I'm not going to go on Twitter. And then I tweeted something. I thought, well, yeah, I'm not going to tweet much. And then I was all over the shop tweeting nonsense.
You get a bit twitchy, don't you? You start thinking, am I missing something? Is there breaking news or I've got to share something? I tweeted you the other day, actually, to say that I liked your new Twitter bio where you said you weren't a journalist.
Oh. For those who don't know, I was getting loads of, after Friday's show, I was getting loads of abuse from people who hadn't heard the show and didn't know me, going, well, you should research your guests, or are you not a proper journalist? I'm not a journalist at all. Hence the Twitter bio, I'm not a journalist. And then people started on the pot going, well, he's really living up to his Twitter bio. No, I'm genuinely not a journalist.
I am. I can put that in mine. Actually, my Twitter handle's got the word "journo" in it, so that's
it?
Right.
Well, yeah, that would do. Do you? Here's one of the things I don't like about Twitter, and I've noticed a lot of the young bucks do it here, and I've noticed people do it at the BBC as well, like proper stuff. Is that? So I'm talking to Kath through the glass now. Do you remember the other week it might have been Ricky, was trying to find a number in Washington, was trying to get a contact in Washington. I don't think it was you, Ricky, who works on a couple of the other shows. He was trying to get a number, get a contact in Washington because there had been a shooting or something there. And he was firing off, and this isn't a criticism, this is just the way things are now, firing off messages to people on Twitter, you know, journalists and people in Twitter. And Kath said, why don't you phone the Washington Post? And it's not in any way a criticism. This is how it's done now, is that journalists and people approach people on Twitter saying, could we contact you for a story? Could you follow me so I could DM you? It's the modern equivalent of, I'd like to invite you to join me on LinkedIn. Could you follow me so I can DM you? And it just seems an odd way of getting in touch with people.
Well, there was all the criticism. Somebody compiled all these screenshots of journalists in the wake of the terrorist attacks when the bombs went off, of all these tweets of the platitude of, hope you're safe. Can I use your video? Can I use your picture? Keep safe. Let us know you're safe. And it was just one after the other where every journalist was saying it as if it was a tick box that they had to do to go, can we use your picture? Can we use your video? But keep safe. Hope you're safe. And it ended up just being one big cliche and didn't make anybody look particularly good.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing. And I'm also aware... Here's the thing. When Paul Daniels died, right, I'm going off on a slight tangent now.
You go for it.
I'm going for it. And Paul Daniels died, right? I didn't know the fella, never met the fella. I've met his wife a couple of times, and I did come down with me with Debbie McGee, and I tweeted that I was a big fan of Paul Daniels, but I never met him, right? When he died, I found out he died because I got two text messages from journos at Sky News saying, sorry about the bad news, would you be prepared to come on the air and talk about how you knew Paul Daniels? Sorry? What? Oh, he's dead, is he? Now, I didn't know Paul Daniels, but imagine if I did, and that was how
to find out.
That was how I found out, by a text from some random journo.
It's not the most sensitive way of dealing with it, is it? As I saw that you were a friend, so that's not really something that you're taught in your ethics lectures,
What kind of journalism do you do, Jen? What do you do?
I've been a music journalist for 15 years. I write for music magazines. So I do all the rock, metal, emo, screamo, indie, you name it. But I also write for local papers as well, the Nottingham Post and things like that.
Hey, well, listen, it all pays the bills. It's all groovy. What music mags do you write for?
I used to write for Enemy and Rock Sound, The Fly and Big Cheese, but now I mostly do it for Nottingham Post. I do BuzzFeed as well. I'm a regional writer for BuzzFeed.
No one, a bit of everything. No one pays for writing anymore, do they?
The Post does.
Does it?
Post pays. BuzzFeed pays. Yeah, the clickbait pays.
BuzzFeed. I don't think BuzzFeed is the top five things you need to know about Kim Kardashian's breasts, isn't it?
It's listicles, yeah. I did a list about can you speak Nottinghamshire slang with all the different phrases and things. But it's good. It's fun. It keeps me happy. I've gone back to uni as a mature student to go and do a degree, and I'm still freelancing on the side. So it keeps me busy.
Nice one, Jen. See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it was great. Thank you for having me.
Will you call again?
Quite the act to follow. I will, definitely.
Nice one, Jen. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. There we go. This is working a treat. Look, seven down. We've got hours to go yet. 0844 499 1000. Lee, Simon, Bill, Steve, Angus, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, it's new callers only, OK? You can't have called me... We had a guy who called me 10 years ago, and I decided that was inappropriate, and I just want new callers. We've had lots of people phoning up saying we have spoken, not on air. You called me a dick, right? Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. That may well have happened. If you want to, there's Jen. There's Jen who just called in. Look, there we go. So if you want to call in 0844 499 1000, you'll probably speak to Id because Kath is out there putting the podcast together. She'll come and join me in the studio in a little bit, don't worry. What are we talking about? Nothing really. What are memories? Your first ever tweet? What stuff didn't you like because the person who told you about it you didn't like? So the thing may have been brilliant, but the person who told you about it you considered to be an absolute cheese. And so you weren't interested. Complicated, convoluted. 0844 499 1000. Who's been on the longest? Lee has. Lee, you've been on for ages. Evening, Lee.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. You're all right.
I am. I'm another one of these listeners that's been listening for decades but never actually phoned you.
Isn't that interesting? Well, first of all, thank you, Lee, and all of the people that have followed me over from all the various places. What this show has been so far has been a nice... joining of like all of the three major radio stations that I've worked at. I expected a few of the Three Counties people to come along, but we've had people from everywhere, from LBC, from Absolute, from there, all discovering us on Talk Radio. So thank you very much indeed.
It's good. I mean, I remember the days of you racing James O'Brien and beating him.
Yeah. I raced James O'Brien. Do you know what? But to my great shame. And I still think back on that day and I shudder, right? I like James. James is such a nice bloke. I'm getting really well with James. We're not particularly close. Every now and then I'll send him a private message on Twitter expressing some inner fear or something, or he'll do the same to me. The thing about that day that ruined it for me is I raced James O'Brien, who's a very well-respected broadcaster. He wouldn't do it now. We had a 400-metre race, right? And halfway through it, I knew that I'd won. I could feel he was pulling back, and I hadn't even started, right? And what I did for the last 10 metres is I moonwalked it. I moonwalked it, and it was, like, meant as a joke, but now I think, oh, God, that was so arrogant. That was so arrogant. I moonwalked the last 10 metres because I was so far ahead of him. I might as well have bedded down and had a little kip. And to this day, I feel terrible about that. So, someone pass on to James. I feel sorry about that.
He's got broad shoulders. He'll be all right.
Well, that was the problem. That's what slowed him down. But that's by the by. So, have you been listening to Talk Radio since day one? I mean, we're only 5 weeks old.
Yeah, absolutely. I did a marathon on day one and listened to it all. So,
what are your thoughts? And be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest. Yeah, you know me. Be honest.
Yourself and John are of shows I never miss.
John Holmes, one till four, guys.
Absolutely.
For those who don't know. Always a very funny listen.
The weekend, I quite like Alex's Radio Hustle show. That's quite cool.
Yeah, that's good. Now, that's Saturdays. What time is that? That's
ideal for a prank call, by the way. I think.
Well,
that would be quite funny.
I think it's on, like, 2 o'clock, Alex's show. I'm not sure. Something like that.
One, I think.
I was listening to it the other day when I was walking the dog. I think I might be on it this week because they were talking about scammers phoning you up, and I had a scammer phone me up and do the thing, oh, your computer, I won't do the accent, your computer, we need to access your computer because it's got a bug on it. And I started recording the phone call, and I've sent that into to Tamit, Alexis's producer, and they might play that out this week. I hope he bleeps it, because he's got swears in it.
You didn't fall for it, I hope.
No. Well, I started off by swearing at them, but they didn't hear me. Then I thought, oh, I might as well get my iPhone and record this. You never know. And now it's going to be broadcast on his show. Yeah, go on. What else do you like?
No, I actually got a question for you.
Go on.
Have you ever done jury service before? Because I've got jury service tomorrow, and I have no idea what to expect.
Oh, flipping it. Have you really? No, I haven't. And I would love to. I would love to go and do that.
Yeah, I'm interested but nervous at the same time. I was meant to start Monday, but they phoned me and said they didn't need me, so I've got to go in tomorrow morning.
Now, when you... Do you work, Lee?
I do normally. I'm injured at the moment, but yes, I normally work.
Oh, OK. So this isn't interfering with your work at the moment?
Not at the moment,
but
no.
It could be... Supposing it was like a ripe old case, right, and it could go on for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you... I don't think you can refuse jury service, but you can make yourself... unsuitable, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, they send you letters saying, have you got holidays booked, have you got operations booked, and things like that. I think you can defer it once, but then the second time, there's no getting out of it, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a good thing, really, because, hey, we don't want only certain people deciding the fate of people in the country, I suppose. You've got to have a fair system.
I'm sounding slightly distant. Can I tell you why? And we will get back to the jury service.
Go on.
I'm having a... We've got an upset caller, right? He won't call in tonight because it's new callers only, who's upset that he thinks there is a technical problem our end that means when he calls
I seem to think I know who you're talking about.
Is Yasser?
Yes.
Who seems to think that when he calls in... I don't know if you heard him the other day. The first 10 minutes of the call, it was really interesting. I couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear what was going on because it was his mobile phone, right? And then when we called him on a landline, beautiful call, wonderful call, we could hear it. And he's getting very angry on Twitter, saying that we need to sort out our end and the technical box. Yes, sir, we can't even get the flipping the microphone keeps falling off. So I've not got a fader for my computer yet, so the chances of us... Yes, sir, I just think maybe your phone isn't compatible with our system. If we want to call you in... Call you on. Well, you could. Yes, sir. Here's what you can do. Not tonight. You can call up on your mobile and give us your landline number. Then we'll call that. Maybe that would work. That's the best I can offer. Dan says on Twitter, at Ian Lee, I did jury service last year. It's brilliant, interesting, harrowing as well, but would do it again. Oh, now, if you get a juicy murder.
Oh, God.
Well, no, it sounds like fun, but you'd have.
I don't like blood.
No,
you don't see any pictures of blood.
Well, you'd see the bed sheets.
Oh, God.
You'd hear the recorded phone calls, and you'd see the weapons.
Oh, God. No, I'll stick to a fraud case, Ian, if I can.
Well, you don't get to... I don't think you get to choose, Lee. You don't go and go, right, we've got a nice murder, and we've got a fraud. Who wants what? Hands up for fraud? Yes, you, sir. Lee, yeah, you go through. You got the fraud. Anyone else? You got the fraud, yeah. No, you don't get that. They get... You have to... You just get given it on a whim. And the thing
and
is...
Apparently, you sometimes don't get anything. You can sit there just reading the book all day, apparently.
How much do you get paid for it?
Well, I think the expenses, because it's only my sick pay, because I'm on sick at the moment. So.
If you were working, would you get your salary?
Not all of it, no. I think it's about £65 a day.
That's not bad.
Which equates to, well, I don't know, about 20 grand a year, I think.
It's
less than the average, just put it that way.
But listen, Lee, for sending nonces to prison, that's not bad.
Oh, yeah, for that, definitely.
For sending a nonce down... 65 quid a day, I'll take that. Some of those vigilantes, you know the vigilantes that film it themselves? They don't get paid anything. They do it for the love of sending paedophiles down. They do it for the love of that.
Yes. I'm not going to say too much.
No. And here's the thing. Well, I think you can speak now, but you can't speak tomorrow.
No. You're not allowed to discuss it even a month afterwards or 2 months after.
3 months?
Well, ever, I think.
Oh, then, well, you could have saved time by just saying ever. But you would, I mean, I don't know your status home, whether you have a wife or a boyfriend or whatever, but the person that you share your deepest, darkest thoughts with, the person that you snuggle up to next to in bed, you would say, they'd say, but for me, it'd be like, go on, what happened? I can't tell you about it. Go on. I can't, listen, I've signed a thing. I can't, go on. I can't do it. Leave it. All right, then be like that. And then they start to fall asleep. Right, wake up. Right, what it is, right, this guy is accused of murdering his wife and his daughter and his mistress. And I think he did it. But no, it'll be like that around my house. Of course you'd tell someone, wouldn't you?
Well, I've looked on a few, you know, the typical internet forums, and people are talking about jury service. A lot of people that obviously don't obey that rule because they put things in there about the case they were on. And I'm like, that could tempt the court, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You've got to be... Oh, gosh. Well, Lee...
I definitely wouldn't post it online.
Well, Lee, I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you, Ian.
Is there not... OK, is there... If anyone's done jury service and you're a new caller, now we're finding a niche. 0844-499-1000.
There you go. I'll give you a topic.
Is there not... My worry would be, right, that the guy's obviously a murderer and a sex criminal. Right? And you're about to, and you're the foreman, right? So you're the foreman, Lee, right? And you've got guilty. You've all got guilty. There was one person that was a little bit unsure. You persuaded her that actually he was guilty, right? So it goes right, Lee. You're the foreman, Lee. Stand up, rise. Right. Have you come to a majority verdict?
Yes.
Okay. Would you give us the verdict now? Before you do that, right? The guy, Lee, guy. Leans in his case, in his case, what do they call it? The stand.
Dock, isn't it? I don't know.
He's sitting in the dock of the bay. Then he stands up in the stand. When you're sitting, it's a dock. When you're standing, it's a stand, right? And he points his finger at all of you, but at you, he's angry through the ear, and he says, if you find me guilty, I've got people on the outside. I don't know what you're laughing for. And they will find you, and they will find your family. And it might not be tomorrow. Might not be next week. Might not be for... I don't know what you're laughing for. Might not be for 25 years. But they will find you. And they will destroy you. Now, let's hear your verdict. What do you say then, Lee?
Not guilty,
either. Here we go! A coward doing jury service! Lee, I wish you the best of luck, mate. It's been fun talking to you. Thank you very much. Ta-ta. A coward doing the jury service. That's what we want. 0844-499-1000.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
New callers only. I thought tonight was going to be a hard old slog. Boy, oh boy, we've had eight callers, eight new calls. Eight new callers, and there's still loads on the switchboard. There's room for you to call in, though. Don't get me wrong. I only said don't get me started. I'm started. Don't get me wrong. There's room to call in if you want. 0844-499-1000. We call you back. What are we talking about? Well, jury service. What is a memories? Your first tweet. The proliferation of mobile phones and things, filming things at concerts. The bare naked ladies. Whatever you want. You know, whatever you want. Simon's on the line. Yes, Simon?
Hello, mate.
Hello, Simon. What you got for us?
It's Simon 2, actually, if you're going to give me a full title.
Oh, OK. I know this gentleman. Simon 2, he's a charlatan.
Yeah, I am a charlatan.
There are three types of charlatans. There is the actual charlatan, which means, oh, you're a charlatan. Where did that come from? Is it biblical? No, that's the Samaritans.
Yep.
Then there is the Charlatans, the band.
Well, I'm from Manchester, so...
Are they from Manchester?
Yeah.
I remember them when they were baggy. But then there's also the Charlatans, the other band.
Not the Manchester ones.
No, wasn't there... There was a Charlatan... It's like, you know there are two Nirvanas?
Two Nirvanas, yeah.
You know there are two Suedes? And when you know when Suede, yeah, and you know when Suede go to America, when the British Suede go to America, there's an American Suede. So what do the British Suede call themselves? Do you know? I think I've got this right. I think they call themselves London Suede. Yeah, they're the London Suede. Oh,
and what was it like? It was the Chemical Brothers and the Dust Brothers as well, wasn't it?
Well, no, but they've just got brothers in the title.
No, 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 because they were called that, and then they had to change the name.
Who? Hang on, who's the real? Who are the real Chemical Brothers? Who are the real Dust Brothers? In fact, who are the Dust Brothers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll learn them.
Yeah. Jury service.
Yeah.
You'll be on board with this. I got asked to do jury service a while back, but because I've had a conversation with the doctor about depression and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you actually played the depression card.
I didn't play it.
You pulled out. You said, "Hang on a second, Mr. Head Juror. I've got a pack of cards here somewhere. Race, no. Wheelchair, no. Gay. Well, I'll save that for another day. Depression. Have that card, sir. And you aced him.
I aced him, and he wrote back and said, "I'm sorry, you're completely unsuitable. You must leave and never speak to us again." Brilliant.
Why would you want to? Here's the thing. Why would you want to get out of jury service?
I wouldn't. And actually, all I was doing is full disclosure. When they write you the letter, they say you've got to give us everything. We need medical records. We've got to know who you are, what you're doing. Because I was looking forward to it, but no.
It's like I don't believe in juries.
Discrimination.
I don't believe a jury ever exists. It's like I don't know anyone who's won the lottery. I don't know anyone who's been on a jury. I don't know anyone who's been asked to be one of the 100 people on Family Fortunes that get asked the question. I don't think these things actually... Do courts actually exist? I'll find out soon. But do courts with juries actually exist? I don't think so. Only in movies.
Anybody that's won the lottery? Don't know anybody.
No, I don't. I think it's all nonsense. All nonsense.
Conspiracy, they're out to get us. I was going to play you a song, actually. I was actually going to get my guitar and play you a song, but I bottled that. So I've lined up what I believe...
Why have you bottled it?
Well, maybe for another... First time...
I'm going to express an interest here. For those who... I don't know Simon particularly well, but I've been around your house. Simon filmed I did a series of live shows last year, right? And Simon came and filmed the show in Luton, and he recorded the audio as well. That was the only... No, it all came out brilliantly. There is a chance that might come out on a CD at some point, if I can ever get off my backside and sort it out. That might come out as a CD.
It's Cat's fault, that, isn't it?
Yeah, why not? it's not. Do you really want to go there?
Go on.
You want to go there?
No.
Okay. So... But no, I'm teasing. But yes, I forgot to reply to a text you sent me ages ago. Yes, come in and film the show one night.
Right, good, I'll do it.
Come in and film the show one night, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page, and you put it on your website if you want. We'll put it all over the place. But yes, definitely. Please come in and film the show.
I've gone proper mank now.
Yes.
With Periscope doing so well.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's watching it online. It's brilliant. It's like watching telly. I don't know. What would I do with the video?
Well, you could film...
Well, I want to talk myself out of there,
You can film. You can film before the show. You can film Id. I mean, well, You can film Kath. Yeah. Oh, no, hang on. Okay. You can make a short... You're the director, man. Direct.
Yeah, man.
Direct.
Yeah, man. I'm on it.
Here we go. Look, Thomas is unhappy with the show. Shall I read this?
Go on.
Ian, there is a lack of conflict on the show lately. It's disappointing. What?
We could have conflict, apparently, if you were to tell me the real reason why you can't use that audio. That could be conflict, couldn't it?
Because the ending is muffed up.
Oh.
And you know that. Well, I know who was in charge of recording.
Are we going there?
Thomas wants us to.
Well, to do with Luton Library.
One of those things that just happened. The thing is, Thomas, right, we've had conflict on the show, and did you not listen to Friday's show? Flipping heck, Friday's show was pure conflict. But it doesn't have to... If it's all conflicts, right, it's all one level. Ba 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 ba. And we will have conflict at some point, but I don't want to fake it, and I don't want to stage it, and I don't want to deliberately have conflict. I want to try and create a bit of a community, and there will be conflict within that. But for Thomas, Friday's show, for crying out loud, you muppet. Anyway, Simon, you said you wanted to play us a song. Please don't do it on speakerphone.
So I'm going to play it from the computer. I've got it all lined up. It's one of your favourite songs of all time. I've got it on good authority in that you said so.
Yeah.
So I need to sort of play it through my speakers into my phone, is that right?
But don't have your phone on speakerphone.
I won't have my phone on speakerphone.
Hey, someone's just sent me a link to find out what your first ever tweet was.
My first ever tweet?
What's your username?
3x3.
And it's the words, isn't it? 3x3.
Yeah,
right. Your first ever tweet was, look at you.
Oh,
Kath, come in here for a sec. Designing an ad for Macmillan Cancer Support.
Oh, Jesus. I hate myself.
You make me want to puke.
I hate myself.
Kath, what's your username on Twitter?
@properkath.
This is brilliant. Discover.twitter.com. You can find your first ever tweet.
Oh, blimey, don't, because I don't know what mine is.
It's from the 12th of November 2013.
Right.
You were late.
No, I came off it because I did a stupid thing.
Just you, me and Paul Scoynes. Just you and me.
What?
Hang on a minute. Bill?
What's going on, mate?
Are you on Twitter?
I used to be.
Oh.
Okay.
You get chucked off?
What? Did you get booted off?
I just forgot my password.
What's your... tough night, was it? Bill, what's your username on Twitter? I'll find your first ever tweet.
Oh, I think it was... to be honest, Ian, that's long gone, mate. It was a few years ago.
Oh, he can't remember his handle. He can't remember his password.
Bit of brain damage.
I'm on Facebook, though.
I don't want to go on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't need Twitter. It's a celebrity thing, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Hey, Simon, you're a celebrity.
Clearly, yeah.
It's just all a bit creepy. Like, I don't want to be following people. It's not legal.
You don't have to like physically follow them. You can.
It's not illegal to follow people on Twitter. You're not gonna be like that fella that burst into Lily Allen's bedroom. Maybe you will.
And
Bill.
You whipped a duvet off, which I think is just rude.
That's terrible. Yeah. No, honestly, I just found Twitter boring. To be honest with you,
it is boring.
It is, isn't it? It's just. Like Rio Ferdinand and people like that.
That explains it.
Rio Ferdinand and people like that.
I do like Rio, though. I do like Rio. He's a brilliant footballer, but he's just like...
He's not a writer.
Celebrities arguing.
All right, well, listen, stay there, Bill, because Simon's going to play us a little bit of music. Then we'll take a break and then we'll come back to you, Bill. Is that OK?
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely.
All right, go on, Simon. What you got for us?
Right, here we go.
Now I'm 14 years old. Oh, I've still got these on vinyl. What beautiful covers. I like space and science fiction. Best line ever. And so does my good friend, Brian Dixon. And he's gonna build me a rocket. I'll put my space suit on and go into orbit. Cause space is ace. Space is ace. Thank you, Simon. I'll cut him off there. Bill?
What's going on, Ian?
Speak to you after this.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, 0844-499-1000. It's new callers only. We've had 9 so far. Flipping brilliant. I'm well up for that. Thank you. Bill's on the line. Yes, Bill.
Hello, Ian. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you, Bill. What have you got?
I'm good. I could talk about all sorts of jewellery services, but...
Could you talk with your phone near the mouthpiece?
Do you know what? I think I've got the same problem as Yasser. I'm with a really rubbish network.
Is it the network that's doing that? Or is it the fact that you've got... What model phone have you got?
I've got a Samsung Edge.
That's a good phone. It but can't be the network that makes it rubbish.
Honestly, I don't want to name them.
No, please don't.
I won't do it, but it's not a mainstream one. It's a bit of a hippie one.
Okay, I think I'm with a hippie one. My hippie one uses a mainstream one. So, well, never mind. We'll get by.
But yeah, no, definitely. No, I've been listening to you since the LBC days.
Yeah, you've called me at LBC.
Yeah, and Absolute as well.
But this is Luke Bill. This is
Danny Fire.
Bill, this is new callers only tonight.
Yeah, I've not spoke to you on talk radio.
Fair play, you've kind of found a loophole, but you can't call me tonight.
I'm in now, though, my friend. I'm in now.
Well, you're out now, though, Bill.
I'll call you tomorrow. Though, as
All
well.
Right, good. Call me tomorrow. Call me tomorrow. There we go. You're out now, Bill. Steve's on the line. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Ian. How lovely to speak to you.
Hang on a second. Is this Barry from Watford?
No, it's Steve from... I'm calling from Eastbourne.
Steve, can you just say, my wife's Charlie?
My wife's Charlie.
Sounds like Barry from Watford to me.
No, well, I'm afraid it isn't, honestly.
Are you sure? Okay, Steve. Well, Steve,
I'm
turn your okay. Turn your radio off, Steve. And
sorry, I have a problem. Oh. I'm a disabled guy, and I can't get to the radio to turn it right off. But if it's really annoying you,
No, don't you. What's the weather like in Eastbourne at this time of night? Chilly.
The weather. My curtains are drawn. I can't see. But I would imagine it's quite cold.
Yeah.
So the reason I phoned was...
Go on, Steve.
Do you know anything about digital radio from the point of view of why they're turning some of the stations down?
What stations are they turning down?
Well, like, they've listened to the power of LBC. Your station has been very bad in this area till today.
Oh.
This is the first time I've been able to listen to it today. And I'm not able to go online, and I don't particularly want to go online. But sorry if I'm talking too fast.
No, it's fine. I'm not particularly... I know that I'm not particularly up on... This is on DAB, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and I'm getting distracted by someone having a pop on Twitter. I'm going to ignore him for a second. I'm not particularly up on the geeky aspects of DAB, and I don't really understand how it works. Because also there's DAB, which we're on, but isn't there, like, DAB Plus as well?
Oh, I've never heard of that. How does that work?
I don't even know how FM radio works. Do you know what I mean? The fact that there are millions of radio waves just flying all over space at the moment, that if you've got an aerial, you can pick them up.
Yes, but just can I say, I first started listening to you when you were on LBC, then I moved to Eastbourne, so until recently I couldn't get LBC, but I can get LBC now, and of course Talk Radio.
Yes.
But I'm so glad that Talk Radio has come on the air. But I do like it when... I did like that person from Bushy. It made me laugh a lot because it was...
Someone
the innuendo really made me laugh.
In your endo, someone has... I didn't get it, but someone has suggested that actually that may have been a caller that's called in before, which is naughty. And actually, they were being absolutely filthy.
I know, it was so funny. It just cracked me up big time, anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. What else do you listen to on Talk Radio, on this station?
Actually, you're the only programme at the moment. You're the only programme I listen to on Talk Radio at the moment.
OK, well, listen, Steve, check out... There's some other bits and pieces. You've got Paul Ross on here and Julia Hartley-Brewer and John Holmes and Sam Delaney, loads, and Johnny Gordon-Ash, loads of good people on, so check it out.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sorry if my call's a bit boring.
Steve, you've obviously not listened to this show long enough.
I have. I used to listen to it on LBC you were on LBC.
Well, you're very kind, Steve. Make sure you call. You've not been boring at all. It's been a pleasure. Make sure you call again, won't you?
Hello?
Yeah, but take care, Steve.
Take care, look after yourself.
Tatty bye, there we go. Why not? Well, I tell you what we're getting. Lots of nice people calling in. That's nice. Well, Angus, I don't know, maybe you're an arse. I don't know, Angus, let's find out. That's a terrible way to introduce a phone call,
isn't
it?
I'm not an
arse. Good. Are you sure?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay, what have you got for us, Angus?
I'm in a serial podcast listener.
Hang on a minute, mate. What the hell's going on with your voice? That you're not normally like that, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm a bit weak.
You got what?
Is it too weak for the radio?
No, it's fine. I'm worried that you're good. And don't push it. Don't. No. Oh God. Well, don't do that either. That's horrible. Don't stress it too much. What have you got? A bit of laryngitis?
No, I've just coughed a lot today. Really?
What? Smoking?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, you carry on. We can hear you. Go on.
I was calling about memories.
Yeah. What is memories?
Yeah, what is memories? Well, it was an interesting thing. You know when you said about people's internal voices in their head?
Yeah.
A good friend of mine works in a deaf school. So he has lots of people who have, like, never heard a voice, ever. So how do they hear it in their head?
Well, I guess they don't.
Yeah, what have they got? Have they got a sign language man, like the side of the telly?
Don't some of those sign language people... Some of them look like they're really into it. Some of them look like they're into it a little bit too much, and I'm very mistrustful of those people.
Yeah, but some of them call it the Midnight Raver.
The Midnight Raver?
because it only came on at really late at night.
Yeah, what? Can deaf people not sleep? Well, that seems a little bit unfair. But some of them look really bored as well.
Yes, very.
I like a bit of sign language. It's years ago I nearly learnt it, and then, you know, drink got in the way. But can you do every word in sign language? I suppose you can.
I don't think so. I think some you have to spell out. But I think the other thing is they have languages as well. So there's English sign language, American is different, just to make it even more.
Yeah. They do, don't they? They do. American Sign Language and British Sign Language. Come on, guys. I mean, and how different? Could an English person understand an American Sign Language accent?
I'm not sure. Do they see it as an accent? Is it like a flair?
I don't know. It's a strange one, isn't it, the sign language? Another thing that I don't get is Braille.
How do they know where the signs are?
I guess someone has to guide them to the signs. But my fingers aren't that sensitive. So I would struggle, you know, I'm feeling like a nail now, and I couldn't, a screw, and I couldn't tell if it was a Phillips. This is a terrible comparison, comparing a screw to Braille. But whether it's a Phillips or a flathead. So the feeling, all of those little dots, and yet there's a fella on Radio 4 whose name escapes me, and he presents, and I discovered that he reads all of his scripts with Braille, and I suppose what it is the human brain, its capacity to adapt is quite incredible, I suppose, and that needs must.
They must, I guess, your dexterity at the end of your finger must improve.
You would have thought so.
Supercharged fingertips.
Angus, what are you going to do to get your voice back?
Rest it. Probably not call into the radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Angus. There we go. Good first call. I've been meaning to keep a track. I think we've had about 10 so far, haven't we? Iona's on the line. Yes, Iona.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Iona.
Oh, I'm terrified. I'm going to be just, yeah, calm down.
Well, saying the calm down thing, it don't work.
I know. I discovered that just now when I did it, and it didn't work at all.
We just need to. What you and I need to do, we need to get into it, right. And then it's going to seem like 20 seconds, but it'll be about 3-4 minutes. I'll say, "Well, thanks for calling, Iona," and your brain will go, "That was it," and it'll be done. And you'll put the phone down, and you'll collapse in a heap.
Oh, okay. So I'm already in heap, so we're good.
Well, that's fine. That's all we've got. That's all we've got to do is get through the next 3 or 4 minutes, and it'll be over like that. And it will seem like 20 seconds to you.
Okay.
Trust me.
Cool. I've been listening to you for so long, and I've been meaning to call in, so I'm happy to do it.
Well, here's the thing. We're getting so many people, all these people, all of you lot. I'm pointing at you now.
Okay.
I'm not pointing now because it's rude. That have been listening for years and years and years. I'm so glad you've all called in, though, because tonight could have been really, really hard work. And instead, it's been an absolute joy.
Well, I was going to call last night, and then you said it was all new callers tonight. So I thought I'd hold off, and, you know, just in case. But I've been watching you on Periscope. Hello, Periscope.
I was just going to say the Periscope thing, periscope.tv/Ian Lee, if you want to watch the show. And I don't quite know why do you watch the show, Iona? Because basically it is a portly middle-aged man sitting in a chair talking.
That is not true. Highly unfair.
Sometimes I stand up, but. There's not really a lot to look at.
I don't know. You said that you were kind of hoping to create a little community, with all the calls and everything. And I think there is a weird little community on Periscope. Everybody sort of chit chats to each other. So I don't know. It's quite nice to be, and it's also interesting to see what's going on in the studio. I think you're probably very used to it, but you know, from everyone else's perspective, it's quite interesting.
I suppose so. What, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
What's your Twitter handle? We're going to find your first tweet.
It's Iona Annoy.
Iona Annoy. Yeah. Let's see what your first ever tweet was.
I think I was responding to
it. Oh, hang on. How do you spell it?
Oh, it's my name forward and then my name backwards.
Oh, Annoy. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. Let's see. Your first tweet was... Oh, you're Princess Leia, right? I know exactly who you are now. Yours is quite what I imagine is quite a common tweet, right? I'm trying to figure this thing out, but I'll have to stop as it's official most haunted night in this house. Woo, woo! High five, Sue! That was the 20th of June, 2009, at 12:05 in the morning.
That's marvellous.
You're This is brilliant. Discover.twitter.com. You can find out people's first tweets. And Twitter is ultimately pretty useless. And I had someone emailing me, and someone from the trans community, saying that it's useful there, and it was useful in it's useful. I get the impression that it is useful for minorities to perhaps feel a part of something. Or to feel a collective group or something. Now, I'm not really in a minority. You know, I'm a white, middle-aged, middle-class English bloke. You know, so I'm kind of the majority. So I guess I don't...
It's a weird thing. It is a weird thing. I spend a lot of time sort of retweeting things, I guess. I don't say an awful lot on Twitter, really.
Yeah.
Responding if I see something that's...
If I didn't do this job... And if I didn't need, or can you type on the out time, please, for me, please, Ed, thank you. And if I didn't need, particularly now, it's a brand new radio station, and we're desperate for listeners and callers, of course, because you know it's a new thing. If I didn't need to, advertise that I was doing a show at a certain time, or you know, I would get rid of Twitter.
Yeah, I could probably live without Twitter. I mean, I could definitely.
And I'm not really on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/IanLee. And I've also got a couple of monkeys pages that I run, right? And to have those pages, I have to have my own Facebook profile. But I don't use it. I've only got about 6 friends on there. And I never post anything on there. It's just so that I can run these two other...
The different pages, yeah.
Yeah, the pages that I do. I don't really like it.
No, it's a weird thing. I talk to a lot of people at work, kind of on, you know, sort of information sharing more than sort of other stuff, I guess. But, yeah, it's a weird thing. Social media is just a strange thing on its own, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, and also the fact that the BBC says on various social media networks, it's Twitter and Facebook! Stop saying various social media networks, BBC.
Which other ones get used a lot? You know, Periscope, obviously up and coming. So,
Periscope, up and coming, of course. Bebo, is Bebo... What was that one where... Is that gone, Bebo?
I don't think I did Bebo. MySpace, that was the other one, wasn't it?
Oh, poor old Tom from MySpace. Where is he now? He's sleeping under...
Oh, he's probably still there, isn't he? Greeting people.
I think Tom was like the owner of MySpace and he sold it.
Oh.
And made big bucks, I think. What was the one? Was it Ask? Ask.
Was that a social media, Ask? I remember it used to be a search engine, didn't it? It was Ask Jeeves and they had a butler to do it.
There was something where loads of girls were like... There was a couple of girls killed themselves.
Oh, God.
Because they were getting... Well, the story was, a couple of years ago, that they were getting bullied and it was owned by a Russian billionaire. And they questioned him about this and he's like, I do not care. And I signed up for an account and I couldn't make head and tail of it. Hey, Iona, you know, I said it'll be over quicker than we thought.
Yeah.
We're done. I've got to go to a break.
Oh, well, it was lovely. I have enjoyed it. I'll call again.
Please. Oh, you sound sarcastic.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it sarcastic.
It's nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You did. Thank you.
Bye-bye. May?
Yeah?
Now, are you okay to wait until the other side of the news? Is that okay?
Oh, most definitely.
OK, and if you bottle it, you bottle it, and I won't think any less of you, but I hope you can stay for a few minutes. Is that all right?
I'll try.
Nice one, May. Thank you very much. All right, we'll take May, then we'll do some calls straight to her.
Talk radio.
Ask.fm, that's what it was. That's what it was. And I couldn't get my head around it, you know. Anyway, I tell you what we'll do. We're going to speak to May, and then we're going to take calls straight to her. From new callers only, please. I think we're going to try and keep this... thank you, everyone who's called in. And the people bemoaning the lack of friction on the show this evening. It's not all about the friction. Sometimes it's just nice to be nice, isn't it? That's what my mother would say. Here's the news on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right. Here's part of my problem, right? It's Ian Lee on Talk Radio, Mondays to Fridays, 10 till 1. Thank you. New callers only tonight. We'll speak to May in a second, then we'll take calls straight to where. Okay, but don't call in for a second, because I interact too much on Twitter. I think I give too much of myself on Twitter. And I've got someone who wants to call in. And Thomas, it's a phone-in show. Everyone can call in. You know, everyone can call in. It's a phone-in show. How long you stay on depends on how pleasant you are, and how, but primarily how interesting you are. If it's dull, it probably won't last that long. But everyone can call in. Not tonight. It's new callers only. If you're calling in just to create conflict, that tends not to work, really. I might not rise to the bait. What you're saying may not be that conflicting. And people are saying, can I call in about religion? Can I call in about... You call in about whatever you want. And if it's interesting, we'll pursue the conversation. And if it's not interesting, I'll pursue it a bit to see if I can find an interesting nugget in there. And if we don't, well, there's no hard feelings. You know, I guess the suggestion, the tips from me would be, don't try too hard. Don't come on thinking you're going to get one over on me. Because if you're thinking that, you probably won't. If you're not thinking that, you might get one over on me, whatever that means. And that's one of those phrases I never quite understood. But always remember, I'm getting paid for this. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting paid for this. So I guess in many ways, I'm the winner. You know, if you want to phone up and have a pop, that's brilliant. And if it's one of my darker days, it might wound me and it might affect me. But I'll still get a paycheck at the end of the month. You know, for what that's worth. But I think I interact with people on Twitter too much. I think that's my problem. I think that's part of one of my many, many problems. And I'm talking to someone now who's there is a tone that were he to start talking to me like that in the queue at Costa, I would turn my back on him or I'd walk out. But on Twitter, it seems to be okay. Isn't that funny? And that's down to me. That's down to me that I'm engaging. That's not anyone else's fault. That's my responsibility that I'm engaging. And giving more time to that person than to someone who's being nice. You know, anyway, I don't know. Don't call in just yet, 'cause I want to speak to May. Hello, May. You've been waiting for ages. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's actually really good to speak to you. I've been listening to you for, over 10 years now.
Blimey.
And I've grown up with you, basically.
Oh, God, that's weird.
So, I know, it really is weird.
How old were you when you started listening then?
18.
Flipping heck.
Yeah. And I remember when I first listened to you, I thought, who is this?
Idiot.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Because one of your topics was that you thought all women should wear makeup.
Oh, what did I say that?
Yeah, you said that. And I thought, who is this idiot? Yeah, that's right. And then I listened for ages and I even thought Larry, well, I'm not going to say, I thought some callers were real. I shouldn't.
As far as I'm aware, man, as far as I'm concerned, all the callers are real.
Well,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And for you talking about Twitter, I know it's the equivalent of those keyboard warriors, isn't it? But there are some, I don't know, benefits of social media. Like the Periscope right now, I'm watching you on TV right now, and it sort of demystifies the process, and that's given me the confidence in calling you, because I've never called into a radio show before. And partly think that Kath should be able to have access to your Twitter account and dump you sometimes.
What, from Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I get too involved with people. I'm just as you're... Yeah. And here's the thing, mate. You're talking to me and I'm still replying to this bloke. And I'm sending him... I'm now sending him a slightly arsey comment. He's said, I wasn't calling purely for conflict more, that I think that you're very good at what you do, but your ideas with regards to women are skewed. Right? I take offence at that. So I've replied, in your opinion, mate, I'm busy, speak tomorrow, maybe. When I could have just ignored it.
I think it's egos as one, and I think people like to wind up.
Yeah. And then he says, one thing, I wanted to debate you on that. I didn't mean to cause offence. Well, hang on, telling someone that their views on women are skewed, that's offence. That's, anyway, but see how I allow it to affect me. And that's my doing. That's not him. That's not this bloke. What's his name? Thomas. It's not Thomas. I'm sure he's a perfectly decent bloke. That's me that's allowing that to happen.
I mean, I thought Twitter was rubbish, and I only really went onto it because of you. And it was a way of contacting you, and then it was also the same for Periscope. But it was rubbish until, like, today. One of my tweets got retweeted loads and liked, and that's when I was like, oh, I've gotten a bit of adrenaline rush.
Yeah, it's like getting a high score on a game. What did you say that was so exciting?
Oh, there's a hashtag that's trending called When I Was.
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite serious. It's so if you do hashtag when I was, and then women are stating ages of when they were having, like, sexual harassment.
Oh, flipping heck. All right.
Yeah. So
women share stories of childhood sexual harassment on Twitter. I got it. Yeah.
So then I wrote when I was 13 that a strange man wanted my number and told me that age doesn't matter. But then I responded and shouted out loudly, "Are you a pedo, though?" It was my best, like, Vicky Pollard impressionist, I guess.
Yeah.
That was me as a 13-year-old South London girl.
But scared? That's a great line.
Mm.
And B, it sounds like now you're an older. You are a grown woman.
I'm an old lady. I've got two babies now.
How old are your babies?
One is 2, and the other one right next to me is 11 months.
Yay!
And I've got 2 girls, and I know you've got your boys.
You've got 2 boys.
One of my personal things that I wanted to ask you, personally for me, is just how was, like, the birth experience for you becoming a father? Because listening to you transitioning and growing and maturing, I've always wondered what it was like for you.
Which part? The actual physical birth? I wasn't allowed downstairs. I couldn't go, so I never saw the babies actually passing out of down there.
It's the tin.
So yeah. I was at the head end, right?
Oh, okay.
Gosh, isn't it funny how it's such an amazingly important thing, and then 6 years later, I'm struggling. The person who's calling in, call back in a bit. We'll do call straight to her in a bit. And I'm struggling to remember it, and it's one of those things you try and take every moment in. Oh, I burst into tears. I burst into tears, you know. The first time we had doctors and stuff in the room, but, you know, suddenly there is an extra person in the room, and they've not walked through the door, and they're mine. You know, and it's a part of me, and I just melted, and I burst into tears, and I was scared to hold him because they're so. When they're born, they're so tiny, aren't they?
I know I don't know what your children look like, obviously, but did you see any resemblance to your boys to your features?
No, not straight away. I think my eldest looks like a lot like me now, unfortunately for him, poor soul. But no, not then. They if I'm completely honest. They look like every other baby in the world, but they look like the most beautiful versions of every other baby, if that makes sense.
No, I completely understand, yeah.
They were obviously my two boys, as I'm sure your two daughters were. My two boys were the most beautiful babies in the world. But if I'm completely honest, if you'd have then sent me out of the room and I'd come back and there were 10 babies in a line, I don't think I'd been able to have picked them.
Well, let's hope that they are yours then.
It happens though, May, doesn't it?
It does.
You occasionally hear stories where that is, where baby, you know, separated at birth and the babies were swapped and 20 years later, you know, and well, there's a head thing. But it is, you know, they are a pain and they are a nuisance and they are the most, you know, and they are the most joyful thing in my life. And then you get, you know, then you get them to do, when you interview pop stars you like, you can get them to go
7, 8, 9. I don't need to rest.
There we go, you see. That's what you get to do. And it's the most fun. It's the best journey anyone can go on.
Exactly. Do you use the parenting parking bays at all?
Yeah, of course. If I got the kids in the car, I'll use the parent bays. Of course I will.
Do you know what I saw the other day? A guy just drove in, no kids, and then...
Naked?
No kids.
Oh, I thought you said driving, naked.
No kids. He got out into the supermarket, but then he got out of the boot, a car seat, and just plunged it in there. But he wasn't collecting any children. It's like a blue badge.
That's brilliant! He should have stuck a dolly in the seat as well.
Yeah.
A little dolly. That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Hey, May, listen.
Yeah.
First call, that's not bad, is it?
No, not at all. Like, my heart was racing at first, but now you...
You can talk for England.
Almost just a good conversation.
Well.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll call again, because I've got some suggestions for the show for you.
Oh, which, man.
I'd like to see.
Listen, call again, man. Let's have it. I'm gonna have a little break, then we're going to take some calls straight to air, but you're welcome to call any time you want, May. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, finally.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, there we go. What nice people we've had. That experiment worked. What we'll do, we'll have a little break, then we'll take calls straight to air.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, that was Catherine joins me in the studio.
I'm Catherine.
It is through there. We've not heard much from you. I'm playing that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay.
So, just, you know, there's room for all of us to grow, man, is what I'm saying. It's a marathon. It's only week five, show 22 of, I've got a 2-year contract. I may not be here for 2 years. I get paid for 2 years if I'm not here. But either way, after the last shenanigans, I ain't taking no chances on that. But there's time.
It's all right. I think I've got a 2-year contract as well.
Oh, just me then.
How long's yours?
One.
We're actually playing How Long Is Yours on the radio.
Mine's the shortest, turns out. What a surprise.
But as you say, it's a marathon. You know, I'm just pacing myself.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I want to finish the race.
Oh, exactly. There's no rush. Actually, there's a rush for this person who's been calling for ages. We'll do this, then we'll explain the rules. Yes, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Hanny.
Hanny?
Honey, yes.
Hello, Honey.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. My first time ever calling any.
Well, calling anybody? You've never made a phone call before.
I've never made a phone call live before like this.
To the radio?
Yes.
And it's weird. Try and describe how it feels.
Empowering.
Wow.
Well, that's good. I like that word.
And did you hear the relish with which Hanny said that? It's empowering. I felt you kind of standing a little bit taller as you said that.
I am.
Good. Well, you've called in, Hanny. What is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, I would like to tell you about my Twitter experience.
Sounds very exciting. Let's hear your Twitter experience, Hanny.
It also involves religion. That's why I asked on Periscope earlier.
Okay, yeah, it involves religion and Twitter. All right, let's have it.
I unfortunately was abused by a religion as a child.
Yeah.
And
When you say by a religion, do you mean what elders within that religious community?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Carry on.
That's okay. And I was diagnosed as having post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
And I didn't find counselling helped me very much, but I actually found that speaking to people from Twitter actually did.
Yeah.
And conversing with complete strangers and talking about experiences and voicing my opinions that I felt had been hidden for so long helped me deal with it.
Yeah.
And helped me overcome a lot of demons. So I feel that Twitter is an amazing
out. Well, so because Gath has just wandered in, so she may not have heard the conversation we're having earlier on, where again I was questioning merits of Twitter and how someone has suggested that actually if someone is in a minority, mm-hmm. then actually it's good to feel a part of. How did you bring that up on Twitter? I'm sure you just didn't randomly start tweeting people, hey, this happened to me. How did you have those conversations?
Using hashtags, you put in hashtags like religion, hashtag Catholic Church, yeah. And especially when things were coming up in the news in regards to things that have been happening to certain people who have been abused, it was a way of communicating with other people and shared stories without divulging too much because things are very personal. It certainly was a great way of just venting. It's the whole thing about Twitter, you can vent. And you can say what you want to say, and it's heard by who you want to hear it by.
It is, but it's not, because once you've published that, it could kind of catch the Twitter wind and blow off. How childish of me. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
That's what a child I am. But, you know, it could catch the Twitter wind and it can... things can become a phenomenon on Twitter and the internet without really knowing it. Do you use your real name on Twitter or is it kind of anonymous?
I'm Yummy Greek Honey. It's quite anonymous.
That's the thing.
You give away as much as you want to, and it sounds like you protected yourself quite a lot, understandably.
I was going to say, that's the difference.
Yes,
between...
I have a private account as well, yeah. So it's not, no one can access it without me.
And that's the difference between your that account there and me, is obviously it's me. And
it needs to be you, though.
It needs to be me. And some people might recognise me from the radio, some might recognise me from Big Brother or the 11 o'clock show, or some might recognise me from playing Marlon Dingle in Emmerdale Farm. We just don't know. Did I tell you yesterday?
I saw.
So I was going to meet the people from Twitter, right? And I was stood outside this really posh restaurant that was just opening up for lunch, and I was on my phone. I was finding the address, and the maitre d' came out and he said, "Will you be joining us for lunch today, Mr. Little?" he thought I was Ralph Little, and I said,
"He's not tall, is he?"
No, he's not. He's a short fella. He gets the same. He used to get the same. I don't know if he still does. And I couldn't be bothered. And I went, "Oh no, not today. But thanks very much for asking." And then,
what if he'd made a reservation?
Well, no,
give his table away.
Well, you've agreed. You've booked yourself. but you found Twitter very. You found it empowering, have you?
It's a fantastic way for me to vent when I have bad days or when I felt very frustrated or what's happened to me in the past.
Yeah.
Because what's happened in the past can't be rectified. It just can't. The people who did it have now passed away.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about that. They can't be taken to court, and I can't get any relief from that. So the only way I can do that is to vent how my anger was or how I was feeling at the time and sad thoughts that I'd be happening. And I just found it a good way. And there's lots of people throughout, you know, Twitter reaches out to the entire world, so there's lots of people who have suffered in many parts of the country or the world that have feel the same way.
I'm going to say something now that will make me sound like a massive sexist, but I think women behave themselves more on Twitter. I don't think many women go out looking for scraps.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean there are.
I have had a.
There's always an exception, but mostly.
I've had a scrap, and I'm not going to say who it is.
I know
with a very famous woman who campaigns.
Yeah, but you know the feminists fight amongst themselves.
No, but it was a very famous woman who campaigned. I can't say anything about giving away who it is. But boy, I got picked on by her.
Mm-hmm. But that's her reason for being, isn't it?
Well, no, I had a lot of respect for her until she had a pop at me for something that I had said and something that actually I believe in. Anyway, we're going off on a slight tangent, which I normally wouldn't go. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Oh,
you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was a big sonic boom at the end of that. Hang on one second. Let's go to line... no, line two's gone. It's interesting she's saying that, and it is there is it's proven. We're going to play around the lights in a minute so we can make it darker, but not just yet. It is a proven psychological thing that people of shared experiences, the healing process is quicker if you are within a group of people who've all experienced the same thing. That's why AA works, that's why NA works, and all of the 12-step programs are effective to a certain extent. But they found it with two groups of people. They found it with people who've been held hostage in situations, really niche group.
Yeah.
And soldiers that had been in like extreme conflict, and they would go and sit these people, you know, somebody had been a hostage, or somebody had been in extreme conflict with a psychologist or a therapist or a counsellor, and the progress, however you measure this progress, was minimal. But once they started putting them in a room with 12 other people that had been held hostage, or 12 other people that had seen their best mate getting blown up, and there was that identification, the healing process, the recovery, was that much quicker.
Well, you can't shock each other, can you?
No, and it's also that thing of you can talk to someone, you know, and say, "I'm having, you know, I was abused and I'm struggling." And that person can go, "Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, tell me how it feels." But someone else, not necessarily abused, but sharing those extreme experiences with someone who's been through it, you don't even need to say anything sometimes. There is just a common language.
And I can believe that you can also have those conversations, which is, is it weird that I feel this? Or I'm going to say something now that that's going to sound odd, but, you know, those conversations that you might not have with someone who you're a bit more guarded
with. Here's the things. Get ready for it, Twitter. Start typing your abuse. Hashtag Sack Ian. One of the reasons, a lot of... let me approach this. Okay, I'm going to phrase this clumsily, so Twitter, away you go. A lot of victims of sexual abuse, when they are children, feel guilty and responsible because they were sexually aroused at the time. And because there was almost a sense of, and this is going to sound so clunky, of enjoyment of the sexual act, right? And it's because having people touching your genitals is sexually arousing, you know, and if you
don't know that's inappropriate.
And if you, well, even if you do know it's appropriate, if you reach a sexual climax as a man or a woman, you enjoy that because it is your brain is programmed to enjoy that. You forget everything else that's going on around it. So there are lots of victims already. I'm phrasing this really clumsily, kind of wishing I hadn't brought it up, but we're there. And so there are lots of victims of who are abused as children who go, but I knew it was wrong, but I went back. I enjoyed it. And so there's that guilt and that shame around enjoying it. When if you, sexual climax is enjoyable, that, you know, that's two functions, is to make babies and to
encourage
you to do it again. And so there is a lot of guilt and confusion around that. And it's difficult to share that, just bringing it back to the point, with a doctor or with a therapist or with a counsellor. But I have heard examples of people sharing that with other victims. They go, yeah, no, I enjoyed that bit of it as well. Yeah. But the whole thing was shameful and horrific.
Yeah. And the other thing
Twitter.
Is... hang on. And the other thing about that is that it's someone that you often, someone that you cared about, someone that you thought was looking after you and that loved you and made you feel like that was the way that it should be.
And it's often attention from people who are sometimes in their life lacking attention. Anyway, that's enough cod psychology. 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7 pence a minute, significantly more from your mobile phones. Let's try line one, then we'll have a break. Yes, line one.
Hello?
Hello?
All right, mate?
I'm all right. It sounds like you've fallen down a well.
Really?
Yep.
I need to tell you what happened to me today, mate.
Is your phone in your hand, even?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you like to say?
Well, the day I woke up, right, and my toddler was proper orange, yeah?
Your what was proper orange?
My todger.
Your todger. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that, but thank you very much for calling.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Line two, you're on the wireless. Hello?
Hello? You like it different, don't you?
Why is everyone sounding... Maybe Yasser's right. Maybe it is our end is muffled. Maybe we are. This whole thing is built in on cardboard boxes.
But our end isn't permanently muffled. That's the weirdest thing.
Go on, fella.
Hello, do you like Joseph Johnny?
Do I like what?
Oh, Johnny Elton, the naughty boy.
I've been a naughty boy?
Oh, Johnny Elton, the naughty boy.
Okay, that's wonderful. Let's try... I mean, the studios here aren't perfect, but... Line one.
That's me, I think.
It is.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hello, guys.
Hello. Who's that?
Ian may remember me. I'm technically a new caller because I haven't called for about 10 years.
Well, that's technically an old caller.
Really old.
I'm very old. Does the name Annabelle from the Woodford ring any bell?
It does. We were talking of trophies as we were, Kath and I, 5 hours ago. I gave Annabelle a trophy.
For?
What did I give you a trophy for?
Best correspondent, I think.
So you are a new caller because last time we spoke, you were a child. Now it sounds like in those 10 years, you've become a woman. Is that correct?
I'm 22 now.
Flipping heck. I'm old, man. You would have been 12 when we spoke.
I was 12. I always tell my friends about this, and they don't believe me that I was on the radio when I was 12.
You were on the radio loads. Well, I can't remember. I used to do this thing at another station. where I would have the 5:38 correspondent update. And it's because I hated features, right? This is when I was doing Drive and I didn't want to do it.
It sounds a lot like a feature.
Exactly. So it was the 5:38 daily correspondent update. And it, like, loads of people had different jobs. It was a very, very funny thing until people stopped doing it. What were you the correspondent for, Annabelle? I can't remember.
I was the Cars and Kids correspondent.
Cars and Kids correspondent.
So it's a strange juxtaposition.
Would you like to give us an update now? Where have you been for the last 10 years?
Weirdly enough, I'm actually doing a journalism degree.
Here we go.
I'm not going to plug anything.
How's the last 10 years been for you? Because it's been up and down for me.
I mean, yeah. I know it has. I have been following your journey.
Yeah.
I've not been
following yours quite so closely, because that would be weird.
It would be very
Although
weird.
Not unusual for radio presenters to follow journeys like that. But
sadly.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you are ex-BBC.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the last 10 years for you, Annabelle? Away you go. I see your journey.
So since I left you when I was 12, I've gone on to do a series of very boring and irrelevant GCSEs that I no longer remember anything about. Maths, really. Don't do that anymore. I've done an undergrad in history. I think I was maybe a lot more exciting when I was 12. And now I'm doing a master's in broadcast journalism.
Yep, that's up to date. Can I play you the answer phone messages today?
Yes.
Can I play you them, Annabelle? You know
what are the answer phone messages?
She's not been listening very closely.
Following close journalism, eh?
I have been listening.
Can I just tell you something, Annabelle? I did what would now be considered a master's in broadcast journalism. You could be here.
Hey, hang on a second. And someone's just reminded me. Your mum's name is Cherie.
Cherie, yeah.
Didn't she come and see me do a gig with Frank Sidebottom?
Yeah, she's gone to see quite a few of
she
your
came
my,
to
my
see
mum and my dad.
She your mum was absolutely delightful. I remember your mum and your dad, and they came to see the last ever time I worked with Frank Sidebottom at the 100 Club, when not many people turned up at all. It was a really weird gig, and I was comparing it, and Frank was steaming. He was booked to do a 20-minute slot. 45 minutes into it, the promoter said, "Ian, you've got to get him off now, mate." It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I had to grab the mic and said, "Frank, I'm really sorry, but we're done. It's Frank Sidebottom, everybody." And he went, "Oh, no worries, boss. I'm just going to sit at the side of the stage and sell badges." And he did. And he sat at the side of the stage selling badges for a quid. And your mum was there. Ask her about that. It's one of the best gigs I've ever seen.
I've been told about this gig over and over, because we all sat down to watch the Frank film.
Oh, yeah.
In the house one day.
Yeah.
And my dad just recalled how bizarre the gig was.
Yeah. Oh, it was a car
and
crash.
Also, yeah, he said that sort of Frank rattled through a sort of rousing, amazing set, were his words, and then proceeded to sit down and begin to sell his own merchandise.
Beautiful.
He did. It was such a good night. And your mum and dad were there, and about 35 other people, and it was wonderful. Annabelle, it's so nice to hear from you.
It's lovely to speak to you. And as a student, I actually can listen to this show because I am up.
There you go. Exactly. It's all the caffeine pills you're taking. Thank you. Let me play the answer phone messages, right?
He was laughing his head off in the office about this, and he would not show them to me, which can only mean one thing. I'm about to get the sack. We're both about to get the sack, or it's a belter.
It's funny, right? It's really funny. So there's a phone number, and I can't remember what it is. Someone tweet me on
0208 something.
It's an 0208 or 0203 or whatever it is. It's a number. It's a phone number that I own. It's a Skype number. And you call and you leave a message, and I pick the best one. Well, I don't pick the best ones. I pick them at random. Not quite at random. It's depending on if I need, like, 30 seconds. I need a 30-second and a 5-second. I'll do that. Right. And what I do is I record about 7 or 8 of them onto my editing thing, and then I listen to it as I record them. When I think I've got enough, I put the music in, and then I'll shift them all around. Right. Well, I didn't put any music. I'm only going to play you one answer phone message, right? I found this the funniest thing I've ever heard. Right. So this is today's answer phone messages. Oh, hang on, I think. Here we go.
I'm rubbing my ribs. 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 Yeah. I'm rubbing my ribs. I'm rubbing my ribs. Again, I'm rubbing my ribs. I'm rubbing my ribs. I'm rubbing my ribs. I'm rubbing my ribs.
Yes.
Rubbing. I'm rubbing my ribs.
Is this you?
You smoke it. Rub them. Get them in. Rub them. Ribs.
That's it! That is brilliant! That is brilliant! And I heard that, I thought, my work is done. I don't need to do anything today.
Wow.
I'm rubbing my ribs.
That's the sort of stuff my kids come out with.
Exactly.
But brilliant.
It made me laugh so much. And I couldn't play it to you.
Do you think he meant meat or do you think he meant his actual ribs?
I think he meant his ribs. I don't know.
Don't care, really.
But he was rubbing his ribs.
He was, yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh so much. Someone will have tweeted me the phone number because we've got some very kind people. 0208 133 6732. 0208 133 6732. No one will answer it, probably, unless I'm bored. Leave a message and we'll thank you. Ed's put it up as well. Thank you very much indeed.
So, I'm going to be singing that in the playground tomorrow.
I'm rubbing my ribs. I'm rubbing my ribs. We've got a phone call here. This is going very well tonight. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, line one.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. What you got for us?
Good. Well, I saw this story in the paper today. And I'm from Cardiff and Uber, you know, the taxi company, are finally coming to Cardiff as of Friday.
Excellent.
And there's been this big kind of whole debate about, essentially the taxi drivers went on strike on the weekend for like 2 hours, from the hours of like 12 to 2.
Wow, a whole 2 hour strike, guys. Those doctors could learn a thing or two about striking from those guys.
So they went on strike for these 2 hours for two nights, Friday and Saturday. And but it's kind of sparked this whole debate on whether Uber's a good thing or Uber's a bad thing. But a couple of months ago in Cardiff, back in September, around the university kind of area, there was this series of sex attacks that happened.
Uh-oh.
And basically, the taxi drivers came under fire because they were refusing to take short fares. So to take these students home from the clubs back to that kind of accommodation. So then the students kind of all lost kind of faith in these local taxi companies.
Yeah.
So they're very much for Uber coming to Cardiff.
Are you for it or are you agin it?
I'm for it, I think.
Then beautiful. Then you know, people want us to live in a capitalist society that's based on competition. Well, there's your competition.
Exactly.
Well,
I think it's great competition.
And how is Cardiff these days?
It's not bad.
I like Cardiff. I went years ago, before we had kids, we went for like a weekend at Cardiff, when we knew we were going to have kids. It's like, well, let's go away for weekends. And we went to Cardiff for a weekend. Never do the open top bus tour of Cardiff. Have you been on that?
Yeah, multiple times.
It goes up. Why? Are you one of the guides?
No.
It goes up the motorway. Life.
You what?
It goes up the motorway, doesn't it?
Is that one of the sites?
Yeah, it does.
It does. You're on an open-top bus and it goes up the motorway through a junction. It's incredible.
Nah.
I've never seen
it's
anything.
It's not the
greatest. Cardiff, I think, is a great city, but they struggle. They really struggle to pack that tour, you know, beyond 45 minutes, which is a shame. You're better off walking around the town, I think.
Where did they take you on the motorway then? Outside Cardiff, presumably.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Where does it go? I can't remember.
I think you do just go out kind of to the outskirts of Cardiff, because then I think it goes around Cardiff Bay, but you kind of got to come off. They don't go the simple way that people normally drive.
Yeah.
They go off the motorway as if that's some sort of sight.
Behold, cars.
Just so you can see, you know, the entire flock flock of sheep of Wales, you know, on the left-hand side, drive around the place just to come back to somewhere that was 30 seconds down the road to start with.
I know why they do this.
Yeah.
Just to show how daft the tourists are, because we'll lap it up.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a great place. I loved it there. I mean, you don't want to be on a Friday night. You don't want to be in any major city on a Friday night, really, do you?
No, I mean, not really. I wouldn't stay in Cardiff if I had the choice.
Well, why do you stay there then? Why don't you have the choice? We all have the choice to go anywhere we want in the world. You could be living in Tokyo or in.
He keeps getting on the wrong bus. It takes him back around Cardiff.
Yeah, I'm constantly down the motorway, up and down.
Back again.
Where would you want to?
Go on.
No, you go first. Go on.
Well, they say, don't they, the ticket is for 24 hours, so you're going to make the most of it, aren't you? You're going to go down that motorway as many times.
You do try and cash it in. Listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. He could be anywhere he wanted, anywhere around the world. Joseph St. Cardiff. We haven't had this break yet, have we? I always struggle with this one. Let's have it now.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Tonight's show has been, I don't know if I would say necessarily a triumph, but it's kind of worked. It's been new callers only, and I was worried I would end up with egg on my face, and we'd have nothing to show, and we've had some fantastic... We've had about 15 new callers calling in. Thank you. If you want to give us a call now, it's call straight to air. How does it work? You phone up, I touch the screen and say you're on air. It's 7 pence a minute plus your connection charges. It's significantly more from mobiles. The number is 0844 499 1000. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Yo, hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yo, it's Dwayne Jaggins from the Wally, dear.
What's it, Wayne Jaggins?
No, Dwayne Jaggins.
Dwayne Jenkins.
And I want to know, where has Verinda called in since you've been on talk radio?
Verinda, for those who don't know, is a young lady who used to call me quite a lot. She has not called in. I think she's lost her bottle.
Why?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask her. She's on Twitter. You could always go and speak to her on Twitter.
Do you speak to her on Twitter?
I tend to ignore her. Sometimes I speak to her on Facebook, but I tend to ignore her.
Oh, she needs to call in, man. She's a legend.
What have you been up to?
Who, me?
Yeah, have you been in prison or something?
What, Dwayne Jenkins?
Yeah, Dwayne Jenkins. Have you been in prison, Dwayne?
I've been in prison in New Orleans. But, you know what? I can't do my full act. There's another aspect to my shtick.
Oh, yeah?
I usually say the MF word after everything, but I understand that I can't do that on your show.
No, you certainly can't, Dwayne, and thank you for appreciating that. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hey, Ian, it's Stuart. I haven't spoken to you I don't think I've ever phoned into the show directly, but we have spoken many times off the phone and, in fact, on the air, in fact.
Well, hang on a minute. When have we spoken? There's a quandary. When have we spoken?
Well, so I met you after a television show in London once, where you completely forgot who I am when we presented a radio show together on an old internet radio station.
It's Stuart Heron!
Hello,
mate. How are you doing? You're right.
Sweary radio. Yeah, it was a particularly sweary radio show from what I remember.
Yeah, how are you doing, fella? You're right. When was the last time we spoke? It's not been years, is it? I mean, we speak on Twitter.
Yeah, it must have been about 2012 or something like that, I think, was when we...
I want to find out what your first tweet was. Give me your Twitter handle. Is it that Stuart
Heron? I know what it was. It just said working dot dot dot.
Oh, flipping it. How do you get that strange font on your Twitter name?
Oh, I don't know. I found some web page once that would give me that.
There's a lot of these web pages around. I tell you what I've got, and this is a real disease, and I thought I discovered it, but other people have discovered it. I've got facial dyslexia, I reckon. And so I don't recognise faces. And the number of times, right, it's happened so many times, I've met people and been introduced and I've shook their hands and I said, oh, it's nice to meet you. And they've said, oh, no, we work together. Huh? Well, now, it could be because we worked together 13 plus years ago and I was pissed, right? Or it could be that I just don't remember, you know, because my brain doesn't remember faces. So what I do now, I'm not going to tell you the trick I do now, because then it will ruin my trick.
Everybody will know it when you pull that strange facial expression that you're memorising their face. I know.
Have we worked together before? That's my line. Have we worked together before?
So we spent about half an hour outside a pub in Camden near MTV Studios having a great chat about all things radio and all this, that and the other.
Yep.
And then about a year later, we sat down in the television studio and you went, hey, Stu, it's great to meet you. And I went, yeah, thanks, mate.
And this is it. You felt bad, Stuart. Imagine how I feel every time. And there's been thousands of times that person goes, "What? I thought we." So I apologise, and I'm an idiot.
That's all right, mate. That's all right. So the reason why I was calling was at the last time when we sat down on that sweary radio show, you and I had a conversation along with another person about who was the worst radio presenter in Britain these days.
This is a dangerous game. Is it me now? Have I taken over that mantle?
Absolutely not. So back in the day, I said that Chris Moyles was the worst radio presenter in Britain.
Yeah.
And you kind of agreed with that. And I forget the other one that... Gaunty was the other one that we came up with.
Right.
So I was just wondering if you had any new sort of theories as the worst radio presenters in Britain.
That list is still pretty accurate.
Yeah? Nick Grimshaw to it. Nick Grimshaw is the most... annoying voice on the radio.
I've never listened. Do you know? I've never listened to Grimmy, as he called. Listen, I'm slightly mellower in my older age, and you know, listen, it's, having been treated like a piece of dirt by various different companies and stuff. If someone can make a living out of doing this, good luck to it. If someone can make a living out of doing it and not nicking other people's ideas, well then, you know. Tell Scott Mills how to do that. But, I tell you, okay, all right. Well, I'm really trying to change the act, Stuart. I'm trying to make it, a bit nicer. And there are still some people out there. The whole act is based on nastiness. I don't find calling women fat and ugly. I don't find that an entertaining listen. That's the whole act. I don't find that entertaining. I find that cold. I find that nasty. I find that obnoxious. And I don't get the joke. And there are a couple of presenters where that's the whole shtick. Look at her, the fat cow. Look at her. She's disgusting. Ugh. No, I don't like
that. Nowadays, that seems to be the thing. The lowest common denominator, that's what people go for, right?
So, I don't even know. There's not even that many doing it. It's all just so bland at the moment. You know, there's blandness. Apart from here at talkradio.co.uk.
Of course, that's exactly that. So the other quick thing I was going to say to you, you were talking earlier on about how voices in your head and how you hear yourself.
Yes.
And you said something about blind people and Braille and stuff.
Yeah.
Do I recall it was you that told me a story about telling Fandango that Evan Davis was blind?
Oh, yeah. I told my wife, girlfriend at the time, that Evan Davis, the host of Dragon's Den, was blind. And she goes, well, he can't be, because how does he know which camera to look at? And I said, oh, well, during rehearsals, they put a bell above the camera. And so he will rehearse it, and then they ring a bell, and he knows where to look. And so when they do a take, they take the bells off, and he knows where to look. She bought that for years, and I think she worked with him. And
she took a bell.
do you need help going to the toilet, Evan? I'm fine. What are you talking about? So, yes, I did. I did do that.
You're a horrible man.
Very, very naughty. I used to do stuff like that. Stuart, listen, it's good very to talk funny. To you. We're going to play with the lights.
Yeah.
And you, pal. Take care of yourself.
Ta-ta, you've been dumped for lights. So we've got lights in here. And let me just take this one call. Sorry. Go on line one. You're on the wireless. Nope, didn't
or
work.
Not.
Okay, right. So we got all the crazy lights. And I don't like the crazy lights. But
we don't want disco.
I'm thinking that it's very, very bright in this studio. And I'd like it to be a little bit darker, because I'm still... aware that I'm possessing the energy of a breakfast show crazy host, and I actually, you know, okay, so can we make it darker with that?
I don't know. Do you want to have a guess?
Will your headphones reach over there? Put those headphones there. Were those headphones plugged in? Those ones. All right. Okay.
That's not going to work.
Well, those headphones behind you that I was pointing to.
Oh gosh, they've got a Madonna mic.
Yeah. Does that work? Can you hear through there?
No.
Okay, well, fine. Well, just line one, you're on the wireless.
No.
Line one? And this is that time of the night when the phones go to cock. Oh. No, I don't like the colours. They've gone red now. Green. Mm. Can we? I just want it to be white but dark. Line two, you're on the wireless.
No.
Line two.
Service for justice. Service for justice. Service for justice.
Okay, it's Fathers for Justice. No, that's green. Make it white.
I can't. It's got everything but normal.
Well, now it's going through the...
It's phasing. Oh.
What's that? Here we go. That's something. That's something. That is something. That is horrible. That's something.
That's it.
But can you not dim those? Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian. I'm a first-time caller to your radio show.
Fantastic. What's your name?
Anthony, in fact, actually, I'm talking to you from America, so you're actually the Drive Time presenter right now.
Hey, awesome! That's an instant promotion. I think I get an extra 15 grand a year for that.
Exactly. So I'm watching you on Periscope. I normally listen in the UK, but I'm in the US this week. And I also had a Twitter exchange with the Calf on Twitter earlier on Sunday, because I wrote a review for you on iTunes.
Oh, nice. Hey, nice one. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a really nice one.
Yeah, well, all right, Kath. Calm down, calm down. She's messing around with the lights and she's...
I think that's it.
She's giving me a migraine.
I think that's it.
Yeah. How good is it? It looks pretty hip in there.
Are you watching it on Periscope?
This is no good.
No. I am. I'm watching Kath as we speak. Is she in her pyjamas?
No.
No, mate, you're watching the wrong Periscope, you pervert.
Is that Babe Station?
Oh, sorry. I couldn't see below the knees. I didn't realise she was asking.
They don't wear pyjamas on Babe Station, all right?
Well, some people sleep in their vest and pants, don't they?
There's a lot more. They take a lot more off after 10.
Exactly, and there's no babe chasing in the US, I have to say.
But if you watch the English Babe Station, that'll be your tea time telly.
Wow.
And then he says something rude.
That's an idea. So I actually did speak to you once, so I'm not traditionally a first-time caller. I spoke to you on Three Counties, but it was an official interview. But fortunately, you were on my site, so I didn't get a tough time.
What were we talking about on there?
I used to work for an app development company and I developed a safety app which you wanted to talk about, so that's how that came about.
I think I vaguely remember that. But here's the thing, I get so many people saying, oh, we spoke before, and I don't have a clue. My response is, was I rude to you? Mm-hmm. But I don't remember any of the shows that we do. As soon as, I don't remember what happened on yesterday's show. If I were to sit and think about it, bits of it would come back. Oh, it wasn't very good. Yeah. But generally, I don't remember. And once I get home tonight, I won't really remember much about this show. Just my brain hasn't got the capacity to hold this data. So I have to do a big dump. But I remember a safety app, actually. I do remember that.
And we also had a hug when I came to see you when you were piloting your radio versus the world. I've forgotten the name of it. Oh, geez, there you go. My memory's gone now. You practiced it in London.
Yeah. No, I don't remember the name of it. It didn't get commissioned. I got a phone Tom Price, who is friends with Rufus Sewell.
Oh.
That's why my phone under my name... I'm labelled as a Rufus Sewell. It's a very long, complicated joke. Anyway, listen, we're going to go... Thank you for calling. I'm just going to cut you off because I want to get one more caller in and I realise I'm starting to ramble a bit. Thank you for that. Line two, you're possibly the last call of the night.
It's been amazing.
It didn't work. The phone's...
That Rufus Sewell joke, you started that with me about a month ago. You started telling me that and I never heard the end of it. So thanks for completing.
It's technically not a joke, but he was friends with Rufus Sewell. Tom Price is his name. And I spent ages setting up my phone so that it looked like I was having a text conversation between me and Rufus Sewell, slagging him off. It took ages to do.
Wow.
And he didn't find it that funny. Yes, line two.
Oh, yeah, man, it's Tony from the Tune.
It's a northerner, Catherine. You speak of the language. You speak to them.
Why, aye, Tony.
I'm calling in just to say that Ian fella, he's funny. He's not as funny as Paddy McGuinness. He's ace. Up yours.
Well, he's not wrong there.
Paddy McGuinness is very funny.
It's hilarious.
Or, as his tour is
called. Let the dog see the badger. What he means is, let the man see the busty woman.
Well, good for him. We all need to have a code. I quite like the lights like this for the
Do minute. You? I think it's quite bright on here. But you seem all right there.
Well, I'm fine here. If I'm honest, how it affects you is not that important to how it affects me. Line two, you're the last caller of the night.
And there you have it.
Hello, you Elton John.
Sorry?
You Elton John, please.
What?
You Elton John fan.
I can't hear a word. Is that Stuart from Stanmore? It sounded like I couldn't hear a word he was saying. Well, it's been a success. I'm counting that as an absolute success tonight for new callers. We had about, 15, 16... Well, more, but about 20, we count the calls there and straight to air.
Yeah.
That'll do me.
You should be chuffed.
I'm very happy with that.
Good.
But no, didn't even get into the papers. Thank you, everybody. That was a lot of fun. Back tomorrow night at 10 with James Buckley.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.